and mount them to the wall. Orion tucked his mother's hand into the crook of his elbow. Come, Marta, let me introduce you to my Thea. Always perceptive and wary of the number of daemons who now called Colossus home, she followed and stayed closely by his side. I've missed you, Orion. Orion tightened his hand over her fingers. I've missed you too. She pulled him to a stop. Please, I have to know. Did I do something to upset you? Is there a reason why you've stayed away for so long? I know about... He choked on the words that burned bitter in his throat. He couldn't bring himself to mention her human lover, no matter how happy the man might make her. It galled him too much to think about it. His mother's eyes bulged as she realized what had him upset. How do you know about Memnus? He ground his teeth as he realized that it was the man he'd met the last time he'd seen her. That was even more galling. I came to see you one night and overheard the two of you. The color faded from her cheeks. Orion, he squeezed her hand reassuringly. It's all right, Mata. I understand. You're entitled to have someone who cares for you, and I harbor no ill will toward either of you. He offered her a sincere smile. There's nothing I want more than for you to be happy. Cupping his jaw, she pulled his head down and pressed her cheek to his. Sakapo parapole muromu. Those words brought tears to his eyes. He'd forgotten how much he missed his mother. What it felt like to be wrapped in the warmth of arms that didn't judge him or expect anything from him at all. This was the only thing missing from his relationship with Zen. He'd give anything to have her hold him like this and warm him inside and out.
Baba Orion, can I go play with Aberon and Kylas?
He laughed as he pulled back from his mother's warm embrace to see his own son. Mata, meet Garrus, my new little one. He stepped back so that she could see Xanthia's golden-haired cherub. His short monocutin was already stained from play. No doubt his mother would have a conniption when she saw how dirty he was. But having been that age not so long ago, Orion well understood the boy's rambunctiousness, as well as the fact that his fibula wouldn't stay on his shoulder. Kneeling, Orion repinned it a bit tighter before Xanthia saw it and fussed at Garrus the way his mother used to do with him and his brothers. Of course, you may play with your cousins. Just don't get into trouble or let them lead you too close to the Corante. They tend to eat little acolytes who venture too close to their domain. Eyes wide in fear, Garrus glanced toward Zedrix and Sabine. The orange and yellow swirled Corante female looked over as if she'd heard his words. Her eyes flashed. Garrus gasped and ran off. With a laugh, his mother shook her head.
Fatherhood looks good on you, but then you were always patient with your nieces and nephews.
Though she'd meant it as a compliment, it only saddened and wounded him deep in his heart. In a perfect world, he'd have loved a house full of children, to watch them grow and play. But not in this world, not with their curse hanging over their heads. He and Paris both agreed on that. They refused to do what their other siblings had selfishly done and forced their children to face their death sentence. He was all too aware of how close that deadline loomed, of how precious every night between now and then was, and how precarious every breath afterward would be. He vowed that he would relish whatever time he had, even if it meant being married to a woman he didn't really love for the sake of convenience. After all, he didn't have the luxury of waiting.
Is he her only child?
Nay, she has a daughter. Orion jerked his chin toward Nefele, who was standing off in a small circle of friends. Her purple peplos had been borrowed from Tanis, yet it was extremely fetching on the girl. Too fetching for Orion's comfort, as he wanted to chase away all the young boys Nefele's beauty attracted. While she might not be his natural daughter, he was no less protective of her, and he considered her as much his daughter as if he'd sired her. Her name is Nefele.
If she looks anything like her mother, then your Xanthia must be a great beauty indeed. Thank you.
They turned at the sound of Xanthia's voice to find her behind them. Urien inclined his head respectfully.
Mata,
meet my bride. Gripping one another's forearms, they gracefully kissed each cheek in turn, and then Xanthia curtsied to the human mother she'd cursed Urien for having. He watched them closely, ready to intervene at any second if Xanthia said anything to hurt his mother's feelings.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Kyria. Urien has had such wonderful things to say about you. I feel as if we've already met.
You're too kind, Xanthia. And I'm thrilled to see my boy so well settled, and with such a great beauty, no less.
I'm sure the goddess will bless you both with even more children.
I hope so. Nothing would thrill me more.
Xanthia's eyes widened.
Please excuse me, Gareth, don't you dare!
She rushed off after Gareth, who was trying to light a fire from his posterior. Urien shook his head at the boy's antics.
Don't you dare laugh! His mother popped him playfully on his bare arm. I seem to recall a certain pair of twins doing the same thing at that age.
Aye, but we were better at it. We actually succeeded.
And almost set fire to your Solrin study.
And he in turn set fire to our asses,
Paris said with a jovial laugh as he joined them.
Greetings, Mata. How are you?
Smiling, she cupped his chin and kissed him. Wonderful. Now that I've seen my boys, and where's your better half?
Ah, I always knew you preferred Davin to me, and now I have proof.
His golden blonde curls dancing, he sobered as the merriment went out of his eyes.
I told him to stay home, if that's all right. He's still mourning the loss of his sister and her family.
Urien winced.
Understood. The last thing I want is to cause him more pain.
Good.
He feared you might think his absence was meant as a disrespect or slight.
Urien was aghast.
Never. I know his heart better than that. I'd never lay such ill intent upon him.
That relaxed his twin instantly. Such evil's not in him either. It's why I'm with him over anyone else. While others scheme and plot, he's loyal to a fault.
No one knew that better than Urien. Except for probably Paris. Their mother straightened Paris's cloak.
Then I will make sure and visit with him before I leave. I can't go home without seeing all my boys and letting them know I love them.
Paris smiled.
I've missed you, Mata. And I you.
She glanced over his shoulder to where one of the daemons was eyeing her.
Urien glared at the bastard, daring him to even think about coming near them.
I've got him.
Paris left them to go have words with the man, who was new to their world, and who had no idea that Helen was off his menu. Forever. Even so, she moved a little closer to Urien.
There are a lot more here than there were before.
Aye. More come here every day to seek refuge from the human world.
Like your soon-to-be bride.
He nodded.
Yet you do not love her.
Urien froze at those words. His mother slid a gimlet stare toward him.
Deny it if I'm wrong.
The problem was, she'd seen a truth he didn't like admitting out loud, a truth he did his best to conceal from everyone, even himself. But she was his mother, and she knew his heart better than anyone other than Xin, who had also commented on a fact he couldn't hide from her either. His mother's face fell instantly as tears welled in her eyes.
Oh, baby. Why are you doing this if you don't love her?
She feeds me, Mata. No one else will. I have to have blood to live.
Swallowing hard, she squeezed his arm. I'm so sorry, Urien. You deserve to have a fiery passion. The kind that makes you mindless and—
Nay, Mata, he said, cutting her off before someone overheard her words and carried them to Xanthia. I don't want that. Ever.
Our lives are too short. I want control of myself. We have to have that in order to survive.
She scoffed. My pragmatist. You're too young to be so old. so jaded. What has killed the boy inside you?
His gaze went to where his father sat alone on his cold black throne made of the bones of Misos' enemies, and old memories stirred inside him.
That boy died the night I saw my father go daemon after his own father tried to end his life. And I realized that there is no mercy in this world for any of us. We are all damned, from the cradle to the grave. Life isn't for the meek. It's for those too stubborn to give in.
She sucked her breath in sharply.
What have they done to you?
Simple. He'd been slapped on the ass the moment he'd arrived into this world, covered in someone else's blood, and life had been steadily kicking his ass ever since, without stopping or hesitating. Honestly, he was punch drunk from it all. It seemed as if every time he thought he could stand up and breathe, someone or something else came along with a stunning blow that knocked him to his knees. He could never catch a break. But he didn't want her to worry.
Nothing, Mata.
I merely gave in to the demon inside me sooner than the others. Instead of fighting him, I embraced him as a necessary part of me. Now we snuggle up under the covers as great bedfellows. After all, we are daemons, aren't we?
Her eyes saddened over his words. You're part human, Uri, and you're not a daemon yet.
But he couldn't afford to be human. Not now, not ever. That would only get him killed, just as it had done Davin's family. The meek only inherited Earth 6 feet beneath their feet. And he was about to have his own family to look after. Time for childhood was over. This world didn't allow for compassion or mercy. It required vigilance and a merciless sword arm. After tonight, he would be a husband and a father himself. He had much more than just himself to think about now. His gaze went to Nefele and Geras, to Xanthia. Much more.
Orion, you're scaring me.
No one could miss the terror in his mother's kind voice.
Don't be afraid, Mata. I'm the very thing you raised me to be.
She sank her hand into his white blonde hair and forced him to meet her gaze.
Never lose sight of what I taught you, Orion. Honor, integrity, loyalty, mercy. Aye, but only for his own family.
No one else. After all, he was his father's son, too. And like Stryker, his mercy had a finite limitation.
If I don't feed on it or fuck it, I don't give a shit.
His father's code was a simple one to grasp. This world was brutal to its core, and it cared nothing for them. Therefore, they cared nothing for it. Their only goal was to survive, whatever it took. Over, under, around, or through. Those who stood behind you, you protected. Those who stood at your side were worthy allies, and anyone who stood in front of you was a target to be destroyed. It was a simple code. And it was one that kept them alive. From this night forward, he would be Orion Cleopas, and they would all rue the night they'd facetiously given him that epithet. June 30th, 9511 BC.
Damn! What's in that woman's blood that it fuels you so?
Orion laughed at Archie's question as he kicked his brother back and almost beheaded him.
What's the matter, Adelphos? Can't you keep up?
Theo!
Archie cried out for reinforcement. Orion turned to take both of his brothers on at once. They weren't supposed to use their powers while practicing on the field. It was something their father insisted on, just in case they were ever in some kind of trap or device where their powers were locked or stripped, and they were forced to use nothing except their battle skills. Tonight, Archie and Theo decided to cheat. Without warning, both unleashed a god bolt on him that knocked him flat on his ass. Groaning in pain, he rolled and came to his feet. He felt the fury rush through his veins. Before he could stop himself, he lashed out with his own powers. His blast unrolled out and sent them flying.
Orion!
At first, he didn't recognize his father's stern voice, not until Stryker grabbed him and shook him hard. Slowly, Orion came to and saw what his family did. Peculiar symbols glowed all over his body, iridescent and beautiful. He'd never seen anything like it. Blinking, he swallowed. Solrent, what happened? He had no memory of anything from the last few minutes as he turned a slow circle, trying to get his bearings. His father let out a deep, sinister growl.
Do you remember anything?
Shaken by what he saw, he slowly scowled. Nay. His father turned to glare at Archie and Theo.
What did you do?
They gaped. Then Archie sputtered, Was it our fault? Releasing Orion, his father stalked them like a fierce predator ready to tear them apart.
Because you're the ones who assaulted your brother.
Theo used his sword to gesture at Orion. That doesn't make us responsible for the fact that he's a freak. Paris draped himself against Orion's back. Hear that, Ori? You're a freak.
Shut up.
Orion shrugged him off. Laughing, Paris staggered away, but Paris's amusement and Orion's irritation were cut short as a scream rang out.
Dear gods, what now?
Stryker sighed heavily, until he realized it was Telemann's wife, Natasa, they heard. Then he teleported to their home. Orion stood paralyzed in their practice arena as he felt pain piercing his chest. It was unlike anything he'd ever experienced before. Without being told, he knew. His brother was dead. He didn't know how, but he did. Rage blinded him as he went running through the dark streets of Colossus. He was so blinded by it that he didn't even think to use his powers to flash himself to his brother's home. Instead, he dodged the curious onlookers who were heading toward the screams to see what was happening. By the time he got to Telemann's house, Orion was breathless and panting, shaking and sweating. Terrified, he pushed his way through the crowd into the house to where his family was gathered in hysterics and tears. If Orion lived for eternity, he would never forget the sight of his father kneeling on the floor of Telly's room by his brother's side, holding Telemann's hand. Their father wept as if his very soul had been shattered. Orion hadn't even known that his father was capable of such gut-wrenching tears, never mind the racking sobs that shook a warrior so fierce, so proud. His father clutched at Telemann's lifeless body as if it were a rag doll. All around him, his brothers were on their knees, every bit as shaken. Those communal wails rumbled through Orion's body like a second heartbeat and shook him to the core of his foundation. Only acolytes left a corpse to bury. Daemons disintegrated upon death. Were his father to die, there would be nothing left of his body for them to mourn. Within minutes of death, all 6 feet 8 inches of their father's massively muscled warrior's body would be nothing more than a fine golden powder that would flitter away, forever lost in the breeze, a faint memory. But Telemann was still an acolyte. His body remained intact, and their father refused to release him. His brother looked as if he were simply sleeping, as if he'd awaken any moment and insult Orion, or call him out for some imagined slight. In that instant of his own grief, Orion felt his entire being heating up again, felt the same electrical charge stirring that had gone through him when his brothers had attacked him earlier. It was bitter and tasted like acid in his mouth. Those peculiar markings on his flesh returned, only brighter this time. From shoulder to fingertip, his arm glowed. Before he realized what he was doing, he moved across the floor to where his brother lay in his father's arms and splayed his hand against the center of Telemann's chest. The instant he touched him, a bright flash shot from his fingertips and into Telemann. Orion felt the jolt charging through his entire body, radiating through his cells and flowing into his brother's chest. Telemann's back arched. He vibrated all over as if he were being electrocuted. Then after a few minutes, he went stone still. Everyone turned toward Orion. They glared at him accusingly. His father rose slowly to his feet. Orion didn't move. Nor did he let go of Telemann's chest or arm. It was as if they were bonded together, as if
Were he to let go, it would kill him for sure. He didn't know why he thought that, but he did. Gasping, his brother opened his eyes to stare up at him. Then cursed Orion. Their father's jaw fell open. He eyed Orion as if he were Zeus himself, come down from the Theocropolis of Olympus to meet them.
What did you do?
Stunned, Orion shook his head, every bit as dumbfounded as they were. He looked down at his glowing arm and hand. They continued to throb with the power of some primal energy he couldn't even begin to describe or comprehend. Not until Apollome appeared in the room in her destroyer incarnation. Her black hair whipped out around her while her red eyes swirled. An unseen wind caused her hair and gown to twist about her lithe body like ribbons in a hurricane.
Who dared to summon a source god into my domain?
His father moved to shield him so that the destroyer couldn't see Orion's glowing arm or anything else.
No one, Akra.
Those actions only made him love his father more. The fact that he'd seek to protect him was the ultimate act of loyalty. But Orion wasn't a fool. No one could hide this from Apollome. It would be suicide to try, and she'd kill them both for the lie.
Something happened to me, Akra.
Orion held his arm up for her to see it. Her hair turned white again as she lowered herself to the floor and became the goddess who used to let him gaze into her mirror to see the daylight. She cast her gaze around the room to everyone gathered there.
Come with me, Orion.
Without hesitation, his father stepped forward.
Akra, stay out of this, Strikerius,
she hissed. His father hesitated. Orion wanted to reassure his father that he'd be fine, but by her tone, he knew better than to speak. She was not in the mood for any kind of argument or another word. Though to be honest, he wasn't quite sure what this mood of hers was. It hovered between a pique and unadulterated fury. So instead, he cast what he hoped was an unassuming smile toward his father and followed her from the room, out toward her palace. As soon as they were alone, Apollome turned toward him with a glower that he normally received from his father after he punched one of his brothers.
What did you do?
Her tone was sharp and brittle. Orion shrugged. My brother was dead, and I touched him, and she cursed beneath her breath. Completely baffled, he tried to comprehend why she was so angry at him. What is it?
A power I never foresaw you possessing.
Now you must learn to control it, or else, like Midas, it will destroy your life and everyone around you. Those words chilled him all the way to his soul, especially the way she said them. What could she mean? I don't understand, Akra. She growled deep in her throat before she answered.
Those markings on your arm are from the most ancient of languages, one of the very first. You hold powers from the goddess Bathymas.
His jaw went slack at the mention of the first goddess of balance and life, a goddess of divine justice. Long ago, when the gods had warred with each other, she alone had found a way to protect mankind and the Apollites from them, until the bitter gods had destroyed her for it. But it didn't make sense that he'd have been born with her mark. Why? How is that possible?
You're born of the gods, Orion. You know this. Such creatures are ever a hodgepodge of peculiar gifts. One never knows how they'll align inside their children.
Not until it's too late.
He supposed that made sense. Yet Bathymas was one of the oldest of the goddesses, a primary power, enemy of Apollo. Why would she choose him as a vessel to carry a gift of such magnitude when they weren't related and didn't even share a pantheon? It didn't make sense. Apollome's expression turned even grimmer.
But the real question is, what will become of that power inside you once you turn daemon?
Therein lies the rub, Pido. As no one has ever done so before. And it's not something Apollo took into account when he cursed you and your father and brothers.
What are you saying, Akra?
That your inherited power from a goddess that powerful could mutate into who knows what.
She let out a long, tired breath. Then she turned to stare at him.
Today, you saved your brother's life, Orion. Tomorrow, you could kill them all. And yourself. Because we know nothing of your powers, and you don't understand how to wield them. One day you might even have the ability to rupture the very fabric of the universe. There's just no telling who or what you could become. All we know is that it'll be an exciting day.
She laughed bitterly.
Maybe not a good one for whomever is in your path, but exciting nonetheless.
July 9th, 9511 BC. From leper to god in three heartbeats. It's terrifying, really.
Orion passed a disgusted grimace to Davin as he dislodged another beautiful woman from his crotch. This one actually whimpered in protest.
Orion was tempted to do so as well, especially given how irritated he was at the never-ending line of women who were intent on his seduction. I'm married, he repeated to her for the third time.
Gah, where had all this attention been when he'd been literally starving and in need? She pursed her lips at him. As am I. My husband said he wouldn't mind, that your infused blood could fortify us both. He wants me to feed from you. He'll even join us if you want, my sister too.
Disgusted by that, Orion stood up and moved away as if she were on fire. Last thing he wanted was an orgy from people who only wanted to use him. Forget that.
Davin quickly stepped between them to provide a block for him.
Sorry, love. If anyone gets an extramarital piece of his scrumptious ass, I've a prior claim to it, as I've been the one begging for it far longer than you. He winked at her. Her jaw dropped, as did Orion's. Flashing his fangs in an unrepentant grin, Davin grabbed his arm possessively and dragged him away. But not before he cast an evil smirk at the woman, then grabbed a handful of Orion's buttocks.
Hey now!
Orion gasped, stepping away before Davin got them both clobbered by a jealous Paris. Or worse, a furious Xanthia.
I can't believe you just said or did that.
Davin shrugged.
I can't believe she had the nerve to search your private business in such a public manner.
Makes me rather jealous I hadn't thought to do so, but I'm not so rude. Or suicidal.
Paris would kill me if I dared to sit on your crotch or fondle it.
So say you. I recall a few rather daring gropes from you in that particular area in the past.
Davin scoffed.
Name me one.
You were drunk. Still,
those don't count. Orion snorted in defiance of his glib tone. I beg to differ. And so does my private business, as you say.
Davin laughed. Aye, well, be that as it may, I don't remember it, so it didn't happen.
Besides, I can't believe we're now having to guard you as carefully as we used to have to guard my man lamb and his hind and front quarters from others.
Who'd have thought?
Indeed, Orion agreed. The world's gone madder than normal.
It's not that.
Ophion grabbed Orion away from Davin and hauled him toward an exit in a different direction. Once they were on the street, Ophion reached back into the building and pulled Davin through the door, then slammed it shut and locked it.
Word's out on you, Adelphos. Everyone knows what you did for Telly. Now they all think you have the powers of a god and can heal them. So if they partake of your semen, they believe they'll become instantly immortal.
Orion's jaw fell again.
I'm not the god Set. Are they insane?
Ophi raised his arms in surrender.
Don't spear Hermes.
Merely passing on the town gossip. They're the ones hailing you as the savior of our people.
Sickening, truly, as I know you for the idiot you are.
Half of them are proclaiming you as the mystical daywalker, prophesied to save us from our curse. They think you're capable of anything now.
Orion went bug-eyed. Shite to that!
Last thing I need is a bunch of fools tossing me to the daylight like I'm Andromeda to Poseidon's sea monster or something. Well, I'd like to feed you to a sea monster most days, but for other reasons. Urien shoved at his brother. You're such a pain.
Learned it from you.
Growling, Urien rolled his eyes. Oh, to have had a Solrin who could have kept his prick to himself for one night. Damn him for all the brothers I trip over constantly. Should have let Hades take the bastard and beat him, rather than save his life and start this.
Ophi kissed his cheek. Ah, now. You'd miss us if we weren't here to aggravate you.
Urien scoffed. Doubt that. Davin stopped suddenly and without warning, causing Urien to walk right into him. What are you doing? He rubbed at his forehead, which he'd banged into the back of Davin's skull. Davin didn't speak. He merely gestured at the crowd lined up outside the door of Urien's home.
Oh, bloody hell.
He'd never seen the like. It was as if they were giving out alms on a feast day. Davin leaned his head back to grin at him over his shoulder. One well-placed god bolt could take out about half of them. He flashed his fangs in an evil grin. What say you?
Urien grimaced in absolute agony at the thought of what waited there for him.
Don't tempt me. And it was tempting. These were the same people who'd had no use for him just a few days ago, until he had a power they thought they could make use of. Funny how that worked. And it left Urien extremely disenchanted with the lot of them, for he'd seen their true colors at a much earlier age than most saw it, because he'd been born with the abnormality of blue eyes and not their brown apolite ones. They hadn't hidden their disdain for him. That made it all the harder for him to hide his resentment of them now, especially when they turned to rush him, begging for favors, these apolites who'd refused to share the most basic sustenance with him when he'd been in need. They'd have seen him dead and in the street without losing a bit of sleep over it. They were deplorable in their hypocrisy. Urien, remember how close we were when we were boys? We were always together, inseparable. He stared at Theo's friend Aeolus, who never spoken to him before. This was the same friend who used to tell Theo to make sure he left Urien at home because he couldn't stand Urien. Your brother creeps me out with those freakish eyes of his.
Aye. Urien remembered him well.
Enough! His father roared as he joined them. Let the boy alone. If you want a miracle, write them down and hand them to Tratis. Urien can review them later to see if he wishes to indulge you.
They protested, but luckily his father wouldn't be swayed. Urien jerked his head as he felt something strange in the air. His father scowled at him.
You all right?
Nay, did you feel that?
Feel what?
Something. Urien scanned the dark street around them. But the sensation crawling along his skin only grew worse, not better.
There's a god here.
His father gave him a droll, bored stare.
That would be Apollome. You can't miss her. Tall, blonde, angry goddess. Lives in the big dark hall on your right.
He snorted at his father's sarcasm.
Nay, this is different.
Can't you sense it? His father shook his head.
I can only feel Apollome in her Caronte.
Yet Urien sensed it, fiercely. There was no denying the powerful sensation of another god in their midst. The sensation crept along his skin, undeniable, unmistakable. Worse, it was malevolent.
This is something else, Solrin.
His father glanced around the crowd that didn't want to disperse before he lowered his voice to speak to them.
There's something I need to speak to all of you about. I was going to wait until later, but...
What?
War's coming. Unlike anything you've seen. The devastation in Xanthia's village wasn't just an isolated attack. We've been blessed that the goddess took us in when she did. Because life on the surface...
His father visibly winced.
After Apollome's attack on Atlantis that devastated most of the world, and the loss of the Atlantean pantheon, it's thrown the power balance of the gods into turmoil, and with it, the Thonians.
Paris scowled. What do you mean?
Just what I said.
With the destruction of one pantheon, the Thonians are at each other's throats on how to restore the balance of the universe and realign the gods in their territories. And while they fight, the gods are vying for power. Our scattered people haven't found their footing and are being systematically slaughtered the instant they are identified.
Orion glanced to his brothers as he digested that news and what it meant for all of them.
Is that why so many Appellites have bartered with all manner of fey and demons to spawn races in an effort to try to circumvent Apollo's curse?
His father nodded. I don't know how that'll play out in the coming years, but knowing the gods as I do, they usually put such races down like rabid beasts. Until we see how this goes, my suggestion is to lie low and give them time to kill each other off.
Ophion bristled at those words. You speak of cowardice at a time when we should be helping them?
Their father backhanded Ophion for the insult. I speak of sanity, idiot. The nail that stands out is hammered down, and I won't see our people fall needlessly to feed anyone's ego.
What of our mother?
Orion braced himself for an equally violent reaction from his father. To his surprise, he handed him a small yellow sphora similar to the red one Stryker used to spy on the human realm.
I'll entrust this to you. I gave her a means to summon us, should she be attacked, as well as the option of returning here to live. She chose to stay among her own kind. Helen made it clear that she doesn't want to return to Colossus.
Those words stung his heart, but Orion wouldn't fault her for them. It was wrong to make her live in darkness when she didn't have to. His mother deserved to live in the light.
I will watch over her.
Paris took Davin's hand.
Do we have a Thonian who protects us, Solrin?
Nay, they don't care about us. Appellites are on their own as far as the gods are concerned. Apollome is all we have. She alone cares.
Ophion's eyes darkened.
That's not right. Since when is life fair or just?
Orion laughed bitterly at his brother's stupidity. His father sighed.
Sadly, Orion's right. This isn't about fairness. It's about survival. Fuck my father. I am not burying my sons or daughter because he's an asshole who had to screw a cheap Greek whore. Let the world above burn to the ground and let them tear themselves apart. We're safe here, and here we will stay.
Paris cleared his throat again, louder this time.
Solrin? There's only one small problem.
And that is?
You're already a daemon, and the rest of us aren't far behind. So how are we to survive locked down here without the human souls we need to keep from becoming dust?
Orion flinched at a very raw truth that could kill them all, a truth that filled him with absolute terror.
Orion?
He savored the sound of Zen's voice in his head. It was like a mental caress that never failed to warm him all the way through. Desperate to see her, he found her next to her falls, near the orchard.
Greetings, my fairest lady.
He wrapped his arms around her long, warm neck and breathed in that sweet scent that was uniquely his dragon. She lifted him up in her clawed hand to cradle him.
What's wrong?
Laughing, he eyed the razor talon that was only a few inches from his face.
Most would see this,
he carefully tugged at it. What kind of fool am I to lie here with that this close and not have any fear?
You know I'd never harm you.
True. Sighing, he tucked his hands behind his head and crossed his ankles while she carried him toward her cave. I felt a god here earlier, did you? She arched a spiny brow at that.
Apollome.
Irritated, he grimaced up at her. I swear, if one more person says that to me, I will react violently. Not Apollome. Someone else. Completely different power.
Saraxin pressed her lips together as fear spread through her. Somehow Orion must have sensed her father's earlier visit
when he dropped in again to press her to act against Apollyme and Orion. She'd told Helios not to come. He didn't listen. Part of being a god, they thought they knew best and were always up to speed. But if that were true, then Helios wouldn't have been pushed aside so easily by the Olympians. However, the last time she'd made the mistake of pointing that out to her father, he'd blasted her so hard that her brother Veles had been forced to intervene. Otherwise, she wouldn't have survived the vicious assault. Closing her eyes, she tried to think of some way to distract Orion from this mess.
How are you adjusting to your wife?
Though she hated to ask and resented Xanthia with a passion, it seemed the safest topic. At least, that was her thought, until she felt him go rigid in her palm. Perhaps marriage didn't agree with her little acolyte after all. One could hope.
Orion?
He sighed and sat up to make a face. I should be grateful.
I sense a but in that statement.
But, he smirked at her, there's a coldness to her sometimes. Is that normal?
Xin bit back a scoff at the question. You're asking me, when I've never been around anyone to know.
He winced visibly. Sorry, that was cruel of me. I didn't think. She fell silent as she listened to the rhythm of his heart change. He was so sad that it made her own heart ache for him in sympathetic pain. More than that, it made her bold enough to speak a secret that she kept buried deep inside.
What if you had someone who loved you, Yuri, but couldn't feed you?
What do you mean?
Like your father. What if you fell in love with a human or someone else, someone not an acolyte or daemon? What would you do?
He snorted disdainfully. That would never happen. I wouldn't let myself. Xin felt her heart shrivel with his bitter words.
It's rather small-minded of you, isn't it?
Hardly, I'm only being practical. How could I eat if I chose to love another?
How easy, he made it sound, like love was a choice.
If it were, she wouldn't be in this kind of pain, and his attitude seriously pissed her off. Her vision darkened as she had a sudden urge to fling him to the ground and crush him.
Being an idiot, you mean?
His eyes widened as she spoke her words out loud.
Xin?
Furious, she set him down on the ground before she gave in to her impulse to harm him.
Go home, Orion. You're not safe here.
What do you mean? When he refused to go, she shot a blast of fire at him. Orion barely dodged Xin's incendiary breath. The flames were a lot hotter than a normal fire. As it was, it singed him and burned his skin enough, though it didn't come near his position.
Holy Kataros!
He'd had no idea of her power until then, no idea just how dangerous his dragon actually was. Blowing cool air over his skin to alleviate the burn, he rushed away from her garden. He was halfway home before he realized what must have angered her. The question she'd asked before she lost her mind, but no, Xin couldn't care for him, not like that. She was a dragon. He was an acolyte. That wasn't even physically possible. Then again, dragons abducted maidens all the time. Of course, in his mind, he'd always assumed they'd eaten them. Now he wondered about the outcome. Zeus, and even his grandfather, had supposedly impregnated humans while in the forms of other beasts, bulls, swans, water. Surely Xin didn't want him to do that with her, did she? The thought terrified him. It horrified him. He was married, and even if he weren't, they were friends. Best friends. And had been for years, like Paris and Davin. Shite. Orion slowed down as he realized that they were closer than regular friends. The two of them had shared much in their seclusion. More than that, Xin had taken care of him. She'd been his refuge when the others were more than he could bear.
It can't work, Yuri,
She's an animal, a dragon. And he had a wife to care for. There could never be anything between him and Zin. Never. Yet still, there was something inside him. Something that scared him even more than his thoughts. A feeling he had that he honestly couldn't deny. He did love her. And that would damn them both.
September 7th, 9510 BC. Orion drew up short as he entered Apollamy's palace and found the one thing he'd never found before. A stranger.
Who are you?
The tall, exceptionally thin woman turned around. She was breathtaking and dressed in a most peculiar fashion. A short, green chiton similar to what a man might wear, cut just above her shapely knees. A long, brown, finely woven chalmis was carefully draped around her thin shoulders and pinned with an ornate pearl and gold fibula that formed a double bow. Her golden blonde hair was intricately braided and coiled around her head in a style befitting a goddess. By her grace, height, and beauty, Orion might have mistaken her for an acolyte, except she didn't have fangs, nor were her eyes brown. Rather, they were a vivid, exceptional green that were more akin to those of his Aunt Artemis, or at least that was what he'd been told about her. And now that he thought about it, this woman reeked of Greek divinity, to such an extent that he was surprised Apollamy wasn't out here trying to locate her position with one of the three-headed dogs she used in her palace as guards, or a few sniffing Caranti. Normally, such a powerful presence in their midst would warrant at least Zedrix out here to investigate it. So why was this Greek maiden in Apollamy's Stygian palace, holding a war bow and wearing running sandals in the garb of a boy? Nothing about this made a bit of sense to him. You haven't answered my question. He used a sharper tone this time to let her know how dire her situation was. Her brow arched, she raked him with a hostile glare. Who are you? And why are you here? That audacious growl set off his own temper. I'm not the one trespassing. Neither am I. Yeah, right. No Greek belonged here, and he knew it. Hissing, he teleported to stand in front of her. I would beg to differ. She smirked. Beg all you want. Your theatrics leave me cold. Before he could respond, Zedrix appeared beside him. His mottled blue skin seemed darker than normal as he glared down at them and tisked like an irate parent. Do not try the patience of the destroyer, children. She's in no mood for your foolery. He snatched them both by the arm and dragged them down the hall to Apollamy's garden, where the goddess waited in her spot by her mirror. Orion locked his jaw so as not to protest the harsh grip, and noticed that the girl did the same. Apollamy gasped as she saw how they were being treated. Zedrix, release them! He did so immediately. Forgive me, Akra. They were quarreling. Rising from her seat, she shook her head. So you beat them! The demon shrugged, with an unfathomable nonchalance, given the anger in Apollamy's eyes.
I wanted to eat them instead, but thought you might take more issue with that. This seemed the better option.
She sighed heavily, as if curbing a desire to skin her favorite demon. Fine. She waved the demon aside with her hand, then came forward to address Orion and the girl. I suppose it's time the two of you met, as you were bound to cross paths at some point. Orion, this is my Abaddonna. Katra. Katra, meet Orion, the son of Stryker, leader of my Spathi army. Orion's nostrils twitched at the introduction. She reeks of Artemis. This must have been the stench he'd smelled earlier. Katra bristled.
I'm one of her servants, and you could use a bath yourself, buddy. How many days have you been sweating in that training armor anyway? You should make a point of meeting the goddess of hygiene and making friends, really.
She pressed her hand daintily to her nose to emphasize her insult. He narrowed his gaze dangerously.
Why is she here, Akra?
With an uncharacteristic glint in her pale eyes, Apollamy watched them curiously.
She's a spy for me,
Orion gaped. The wide-eyed look on Katra's face said that those words were news to her as well, but Orion wasn't dumb enough to contradict a highly volatile goddess. Even so, Katra cocked her head to study him with the same curiosity someone might use with an insect.
I've never seen an apolyte before. She lifted her hand. May I?
Offended that she'd treat him like an experiment, he lifted his chin to protest. I'm not a freak.
I know. But you are different from anyone I've ever seen before, so I'm curious.
He glanced toward Apollome.
Show Katra what the bastard did to your people. Let her see what an animal does to his own son and grandchildren. Help her understand why she should hate him and never trust Artemis, who has turned her back on you. You are the goddess's nephew, after all, yet she does nothing for her own blood. Let Katra see how much love the cold bitch has in her heart for her family.
Katra passed a peeved stare at her, but didn't speak a word of contradiction. Opening his mouth, Orion allowed the girl to examine his fangs. Though the term girl was probably uncharitable of him. Most likely, she was close to his true age, and yet she looked to be a teen, whereas because he was an apolyte, he appeared a full-grown man in his mid-20s. She gently fingered the sharp tips of his fangs.
Do they hurt?
Nay, I've never had any other kind of teeth.
And you don't eat food or drink anything other than blood?
He shook his head.
She fretted. How awful.
You don't miss what you don't know.
Not true. I miss my father every day of my life. Yet I've never known him. And I'm forever curious about every detail of him and his life.
That was different, he supposed. Missing a father wasn't the same as being forced to drink blood. He couldn't imagine a life where he didn't know who his father was or not seeing him every day. There was nothing in life more important to him than his family. And in particular, he valued his parents, both of them. But all in all, Katra was an odd bit of fluff, with some rather peculiar thoughts. Orion scowled at her.
And I prefer not to torture myself with thoughts over what I don't have or what I'm missing. Life's too willing to do it for me.
Dark much?
He snorted at her sarcasm. Hard to be light and fluffy when you're banished to a hell realm.
Katra paused to consider that. You've never seen daylight, have you?
He glanced past her to Apollome, who watched them with a disturbing intensity. How he wished he could read her thoughts, or Katra's at the moment.
Only through the goddess's mirror.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Katra appeared to actually mean it. Orion shrugged before he spoke an absolute truth.
Don't be. I'd rather not see daylight than be stuck serving Artemis.
Katra gaped at his insult.
Ouch! I can tell we're going to get along not at all.
Fine with me.
He turned toward Apollome and offered her a quick bow.
If you'll excuse me, Akra.
Katra watched Orion leave and shook her head.
Is something wrong? Apollome asked.
Why didn't you tell him we're cousins?
For the same reason no one needs to know you're my granddaughter, Katra. Of secret things, we are silence. As much as I hate your mother, we have to protect Artemis's reputation in order to protect my son. Therefore, Strycerius is never to know that you're Apollo's niece.
And still, there was another matter that disturbed her as Katra stared after the peculiar apolyte who'd left them.
For goodness sake, child, what else is on your mind?
Katra tilted her head.
Why does Orion look so much like my father?
Apollome scoffed.
They say Orion is the image of Strycerius.
She scoffed at that explanation.
I've seen Stryker. Aside from his blonde hair and carriage, there's only passing similarity between them. But I've seen my mother watching after my father enough to know his every feature. Well, I've never seen Acheron in the flesh. I know the line of his jaw, the shape of his nose and eyes, the fine arch of his brows, and he and Orion could be twins. The only difference is that Orion's skin is a bit darker in tone. Because his mother's Egyptian. The news shocked Katra, who'd had no idea of Orion's real mother. Pardon? Apollomy froze as she realized the unintentional slip she'd made. But it was easy to do. She spent so much time alone that she wasn't used to having to guard her tongue or censor herself. And here she was telling Katra to be careful. Nothing, just remember what I said. Speak of nothing said here. Keep to yourself. Believe me, I'm good at that. I have to be to protect my Matisera from the other gods. Apollomy pulled Katra against her and hugged her. You should let me kill Artemis, for all our sakes. Cut her throat while she sleeps. Yeah, I can't do that. I do love her. Those words wrested a deep-seated groan from her. Why? She groused. She's completely unlovable. Not to me. Besides, there are many who think the same of you, and it's completely untrue. And speaking of which, I need to get back before she misses me. She'll die if she ever learns I come here to see you. Good. Should I send her a basket to thank her for your visits? Yeah. Katra huffed, then kissed her cheek. Take care, and I'll see you soon. Apollomy let her go reluctantly. She still couldn't believe that Katra was real, that her precious son had fathered a child without anyone knowing. Had she not seen the girl with her own eyes and held her in her own arms, she wouldn't have believed it. But there was no denying this truth. Katra was Apostolos's daughter. If only Katra would renounce her loyalty to her mother. So long as she remained tied to two pantheons, Katra was a danger to both. She could be used against either side, just like Orion's real mother. Had Bethany not inadvertently given her protection over to the Greeks because she loved Prince Styx, the Atlanteans would have destroyed the Greek army that first day in battle and won their war against Greece before it started. Then Princess Rissa wouldn't have been given to Apollo to win his favor, and she and her son wouldn't have died, thus causing the curse for Stryker and his people. More to the point, had Bethany not had divided loyalties, Apostolos wouldn't have been slaughtered, and Atlantis wouldn't have been destroyed. Divided loyalties could never be trusted. She only trusted Strycerius now, because his father had forever severed their bond when he'd cursed Strycerius's children to die. There was no repairing that with mere words. Strycerius would never forgive Apollo for his damnation of their innocence. She would make sure of it. April 17th, 9508 BC.
Thorin, please don't get mad. I was playing with your Sphora when I saw this.
Orion looked up from where he sat in their front room, polishing his sword, to see Garrus holding his crystal Sphora in his hand. He smiled gently at the boy.
I'm not angry, Magius.
He tried to have patience with his son, though you should ask before you get into my things. Placing the oiled cloth aside, Orion held his hand out for the boy to show him why he was so upset and fretting. Garrus moved closer to hand him the small ball. Orion took a moment to reassure his nervous son that he wasn't angry. Garrus was literally shaking. He was so frightened. He set his compass aside and pulled Garrus into the circle of his arms so that he could stand between his knees and see into the Sphora clearly. So what did you glimpse that has you so upset? Biting his lips, Garrus held it up in front of the fire to show him. The flames flickered in the pale crystal. At first, there was nothing except the mist that swirled like Apollomy's eyes, until Urien saw his mother's home and the body of her lover lying in the yard with four arrows protruding from his back.
Cold fear went through him and shook him to the core of his soul. He couldn't breathe or think. He shot to his feet.
Solren?
Too scared to look closer at the house on his own, Orion almost stumbled over his son. I'm not angry, Garrus. I'm grateful. Kissing him on the head, he reached for his sword. Before he summoned his brothers to this waking nightmare, he wanted to verify the vision with the goddess. His heart pounded with denials and any other explanation his mind could conjure. Maybe it was wrong. Maybe it was something else. Please, gods, let it be anything else. He teleported to her garden. Too panicked to consider what he was doing, he flashed straight to her pool. Apollyme rose up instantly and slammed him down with a god bolt. Unexpected pain exploded through his body as if he'd been hit by a mountain. It was so extreme and violent that for a full minute he couldn't breathe. He honestly thought that every bone in his body had been shattered. His ears rang with an unparalleled shrillness. Why didn't I put on Zin's armor? At least that would have given him some form of protection. As it was, he had nothing, and he wasn't sure if he'd ever walk again. In fact, it took him a second to realize that Apollyme had pulled him into her arms and was holding him, calling his name as she stroked his cheek. That was how much pain he was in, just how senseless she'd knocked him. He struggled to move or have any semblance of a rational thought.
What were you thinking by barging in here unannounced?
He hadn't been.
My Mata, he breathed.
She scowled. What?
Wanted to check on my Matera.
You foolish boy.
She looked over to her Caronte.
Zedrix, fetch water from the falls, fast.
The demon didn't have to go far. A beautiful priestess was already there in the gardens, one Orion had never seen before. Dressed in a black gown, she had long, curly auburn hair that held tiny braids and ribbons, intricately designed and laced through the dark tendrils. Even though she kept her gaze on the ground, and he felt as though he were about to die, he couldn't miss the vibrant beauty of her green eyes as she came closer to hand Apollyme a jewel-encrusted cup. Apollyme tipped it to his lips. Drink! Orion flinched at the black water as his stomach heaved in revulsion of it. Drink! She insisted. Bracing himself, he obeyed, praying it didn't taste as bad as it looked. The moment the black water invaded his mouth and burned his lips and tongue, he choked, but somehow managed to swallow it down. Scented with roses, it tasted more like peppermint and some kind of sweetness he'd never known, and it swept through his body like fire, taking with it all his pain. The priestess laid a gentle hand to his hair, then his shoulder, before she vanished. Orion glanced from her to Apollyme.
Who is she?
Never you mind, are you all right?
Still shaken by his near-death experience, Orion frowned.
Pretty sure you knocked out the last 3 or 4 bits of my brain cells, Akra.
She scoffed at him.
What have I told you about intruding so rudely into my sanctum?
A point I shall never forget after tonight.
See that you don't.
Glaring pointedly at him, she helped him to his feet.
Now let us look and see what's going on with your mother.
Orion was still having a bit of trouble seeing straight after her violent assault as they went to the pool. It had been a long time since he last ventured here for this. His days of wanting to see the sun had long passed. He learned not to yearn for things he couldn't have, to not torture himself with such pointless endeavors. But as the waters cleared, and he saw the bright light where his mother lived, his breath caught. It hadn't been an illusion. She was under vicious attack. In the mirrored waters, he could see the humans who were ransacking her farm and delighting in the harm they caused. Orion started to teleport, but couldn't. Apollyme had locked him in.
Are you insane? It's daylight.
I don't care.
Frustrated tears filled his eyes as he watched his mother being attacked.
She's my Mata.
Hysteria welled inside his heart as he heard his tiny mother screaming for help and mercy, neither of which came for her. Rather, the humans continued on and on with their brutality. Apollyme rippled the waters, scattering the images so that he could no longer see or hear them. Not that it mattered. They were seared into his mind and soul, forever scarred there.
Nee!
Orion shouted, rushing back.
You can't leave her! She's alone and unprotected! We have to do something!
She caught him against her chest while he struggled.
There's nothing we can do!
Bullshit! You're a goddess! Send your Caronte, a storm, something! Help her, please! Please!
Orion sobbed and struggled, desperate to help his mother. How could they do nothing? She refused to let him go. Instead, she held him tighter to her breasts.
I know, Pido. I know. I couldn't help my son when he needed me. Either of my boys. And it killed me to know how they suffered when there was nothing I could do to stop it. To know that with all the powers I have, I couldn't go into Hades and pull my boy out and restore his life. It tore out my heart and left me this shattered shell you see before you that barely functions here in this hell. I know how bad it hurts. But there is nothing to be done. If you go, you'll die. Plain and simple. You know this. Your mother wouldn't have you harmed for anything. She would rather die 1,000 times more than see you hurt. Believe me, I know the heart of a mother. And if you were gone, then who would protect your children and wife from such a fate?
None of that mattered to him right now. Not when he knew that his mother was being assaulted and he, a full-grown warrior, couldn't help her. It wasn't right or fair. Damn them all! What good was training if he couldn't defend what he loved? Why were they even bothering? What was it for? Why? For the first time in his life, he felt completely helpless, and he hated it. He hated himself. Damn the gods. Damn his father. Damn his own soul. Shh, Apollyme whispered as he wept against her shoulder. She held him with a tenderness he would have never attributed to such a violent goddess. But she wasn't his mother. She could never be the gentle, sweet woman who'd nursed him when he was a child, the one who'd sung him lullabies and made his entire world right with nothing more than a warm hug and a tender smile. No one would ever be able to make him feel that loved again. And she was being torn apart by brutal hands in a harsh world he hated. I failed her.
Nay, Pido, you live. That's what she wanted for you. All she ever wanted. Your life and your happiness. So long as you have those two things, you have never failed her. Trust me. I know.
Yet he wanted more than that. He wanted his mother alive and well. Happy. Most of all, Orion wanted blood from those who desecrated the most sacred lady to ever walk this earth. And come the sunset, he would have it in spades. May the gods have mercy on them, because Orion would not. Not now, not ever. It wasn't often that, as an ancient primal goddess, Apollyme feared anything. But as she watched the sons of Strychirius gather together, dressed in their armor, to lead their first night strike against humanity, she feared this. For she couldn't get the words of her brother out of her head from eons ago.
Beware the hellhounds of war. Once unleashed, they are as quick to eat their master as they are to feast on the throats of their enemies.
At the time, she thought Jaden was a coward for his sentiment, a pathetic fool. Now, a deep sense of foreboding went through her. Orion was a chimera unlike any ever conceived. Worse, he'd been lied to from the moment of his birth, cursed by the very gods whose blood he shared. His true father, Styx, had been a volatile creature, both as a Greek prince and as the Atlantean hero he'd been a lifetime before, Heracles of Didymos, a man who'd been betrayed and slaughtered just as her own husband had been. The gods should have never allowed the great war hero Heracles to be reincarnated as Styx. That one warrior had been dangerous enough, but Heracles had held a childlike innocence that Styx had lacked.
And after being betrayed and murdered by Apollo, Heracles had been reborn into a ruthless and cunning prince unlike any other. In the incarnation of Styx, he had been invincible as he sought to protect what he loved. As if Styx somehow knew all that Heracles had been through and understood innately the cruelty of this world and the bitter necessity of striking the first killing blow to quell all enemies before they rose up against him. He'd passed that passion and drive to his only son, so that Orion also held an unbelievable skill and birthright. When coupled with the powers of the goddess Bathymas, who'd been reborn as Bethany, what have I done? She'd infused the blood of two of the deadliest creatures ever born with Apollo's DNA, and given Orion who knew what additional powers when she'd saved his life as an infant and placed him into the belly of Helen and allowed his powers to merge with Stryker's. Well, you wanted to destroy the world, Braith. With this child, you may very well have created the perfect vessel for it. The only problem was, she wasn't sure she had control of Orion. As her brother Jaden had noted all those centuries ago with his dire prediction, Orion was just as likely to cut her throat once her hellhound learned of her part in his birth as he was to embrace her for the gift of his powers. That was what had her scared. She'd set things in motion that she couldn't see or direct. And as she watched him and his brothers teleport to his mother's cottage through the dark waters of her mirrored pool, her blood ran colder than ice. Surrounded by his brothers, he held himself together with a rigid composure that would have done Styx and Bethany proud. Indeed, Orion was the very image of the Stygian commander, as he found his adoptive mother's body and tried to bring her back to life with the powers he'd inherited from his true goddess mother, Bethany. But Helen had been dead for too long. There was no hope for her now. And that horror caused Orion to let out a visceral cry that rang through the fabric of time and space. It was the anguished cry of utter agony. A soul-deep misery that shook the walls around her and resonated deep in the halls of the gods. Apollome had tried to warn him of what he'd find. Not all dead could be saved, for many reasons. Telamon had returned to life because he hadn't been ready to leave his wife or children. Helen was another matter. As a human, she'd been tired. Her reasons had nothing to do with Orion or his powers. And though it was possible to bring the dead back against their will, that was never a good idea. Her son Apostolos was a prime example of what happened when one interfered with the will of another, as was the Malachi. Never let your pain make your decisions, my love, for it is in our darkest hours that we make our darkest hells. Kasseri had been right. Everyone was the architect of their doom. To this day, she hated him for that. Apollome watched in her mirror as Orion realized it too. In that one instant, the light inside his eyes went out. It was a sight she knew all too well. Like one of Hephaestus's automatons that could pass for a living creature at first glance. Until one realized their eyes were soulless and cold. The only hint of humanity was when Orion cradled his mother's body briefly in his arms and kissed her cheek. He removed his bright red chalmis and wrapped it around his mother's ravaged body. Then he lifted her in his arms and carried her outside to the pyre that he quickly built with his powers and placed coins upon her eyes. One by one, his brothers each placed a black Mavillo rose onto their mother's body, roses Apollome had plucked from her own garden and sent with Orion as the ultimate sign of respect from the destroyer, a final mark of honor that she paid to the woman who'd unknowingly carried Bethany's son in her womb and birthed him for Apollome's vengeance. I have made so many mistakes, she whispered,
as tears filled her eyes. Some she regretted, some she did not. But she did feel terrible for the boy she'd helped to raise. No one deserved the pain Urien felt tonight, to feel so victimized and helpless. It was a misery that lived inside her heart as a constant companion. No one should ever feel powerless in their own life, ever. Stryker's sons said a prayer, then lit the funeral fire. And as the pyre burned, Urien looked up, and somehow, he met Apollomy's gaze through the mists of the waters where she gazed. How he knew where her vantage point was, it sent another chill over her. His powers were astounding. But then, he was the Stygian heir. The fire lit the sky and burned bright as Urien used his powers to conjure the identities of the men who'd killed his mother and her servants. Pyromancy wasn't his favorite choice, but the flames licking his mother's body were craving vengeance as much as he was. Together, they gave him everything he needed to vindicate them both. The humans had come to her farm for daemons because of whispered rumors they'd heard, and they'd taken it upon themselves to punish her for harboring Apolytes. Time, the humans actually met some. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. The saddest part of life was when you manifested your own fears by your actions or inactions. Perhaps that was what karma actually was, in the end. Not some great mystical force that came out of the blue to strike someone down without warning. Rather, a byproduct of someone's own stupidity or cruelty, where they sought to harm another that boomeranged around to take them down instead. Because that was what this would be tonight. The humans had feared his kind. Had they not lashed out and attacked his innocent mother needlessly, then he and his brothers would have left them in peace. But because they had attacked in their own vicious stupidity, he and his brothers would slaughter them in a manner far worse than anything they had envisioned or feared. There would be no quarter, no mercy, only blood and screams. Theo grabbed Orion's arm to stop him. Are you sure we should be doing this? It's the last thing Mata would want. She'd be horrified if she knew what we were planning in her name. You know how she felt about violence. Orion glanced past his shoulder to meet Archie's gaze. For the first time, they were united. If you don't have the stomach for this, Theo, go home. I'm not leaving this realm until I've tasted the blood of every human who participated in this. And if any of the others get in our way, fuck them. He looked back at Theo. Decide. Theo swallowed and glanced to his twin. Alki? Alkimos shook his head. I'm with them in this, Adelphos. But you follow your conscience, I won't judge you. Theo refused to give up as he sought to win more to his cause. Atreus? Patroclus? They both patted his shoulder. We're going, they said in unison. Theo sighed heavily. I can't do this. Killing to survive is one thing. This is vengeance. It won't bring her back. And I can't shame her memory in this manner. Urien forced himself not to sneer at his brother's newfound religion. Devout cowardice. Perhaps. But it will make me feel better. And it is justice. That is what she deserves for what they did to her. And with that, he summoned a portal for his brother. Go home. Nodding, Theo stepped through. Urien glanced to his brothers. Anyone else? United for this blood quest, they stood fast. All right. Urien closed the portal home so that no one else would find them until it was over. More to the point, no one could stop them. Then he used his powers to locate the place the flames had shown him.
a small, sleepy human village where the cowards had run back to, thinking themselves safe and protected, far away from any Appellate's or Daemon's reach. As if. Instead of killing Aspathi, the humans should have learned a few things about them first. One, they valued family above all. To attack one invited the group to come for you. Two, you only had one shot. You'd best make it count, because when they got up, and they would, there would be no stopping them. The humans had made their strike and withdrawn. It would be their last mistake. In the end, Orion didn't care what his brothers did tonight. He had no intention of policing their actions. It wasn't his place. Right and wrong made no never mind to him. Not now. Not where his mother was concerned. The humans had forfeited their right to any form of mercy the moment they had failed to police their own. The moment they had set foot on his mother's farm and laid a single, cruel hand to her flesh and taken her property. Just as they had punished his mother for helping her family and shielding them, he felt the same for any human they might happen upon. They were all guilty by their births to human mothers. He was Apollo's grandson, after all. Let there be blood. Let there be chaos. Most of all, let there be vengeance. Therefore, when Orion kicked open the front door of the first attacker he tracked down, and they threw in the torches to burn them out into the street where they waited to kill them, he felt nothing about the screams of that man's family. He heard nothing and saw nothing other than the huge beast of a bastard who had beaten his tiny mother. That was the brute he seized, the brute he showed his fangs to. "Daemons!" the man shouted, trying to escape and fend Orion off. Orion laughed. "You wish. A daemon would just want your soul." But he wanted so much more. Blood vengeance. He wanted to make the man suffer long and hard, to listen to him scream and whimper for mercy until his throat was raw and bleeding. Orion used his powers to snap the human's legs in multiple places. He wanted him to suffer as much as possible and to beg and cry until the human was sick from it. He grabbed the man by his hair and pulled him up so that he could bare his fangs. "That's it, human. Cry and beg me. I want to hear your pleas until you're hoarse from our beatings and you choke to death on your own blood and bile." The man screamed out even louder as his son ran through the streets to escape his brothers. With his powers, Orion trapped him, and Archie caught the screaming boy up in his arms. Orion froze the moment he came through the portal to find his father seated on this throne, staring at him with a lethal glower. Yeah, that could melt Arctic stone. His father didn't move until all of them had arrived through the portal and were standing in the hall in front of him. Then he came off his throne like a lethal predator out of a frightening crouch. Except Orion wasn't afraid, not even a little. Honestly, he was still too grief-stricken to care. In a deadly mood, his father closed the distance between them. Orion felt the blood rolling off his armor. It dripped from the nasal guard of his helm and landed in a bright splatter pattern on the cold tile at his feet. Still, he didn't move or flinch as he met his father's gaze levelly. His father stopped in front of him and pulled the helm from his head. He swiped at the guard with his thumb, then placed the blood on his tongue to taste it. Licking it clean, he arched his brow as he realized it was human.
"The least you could have done was taken a few daemons with you to collect the souls."
Orion narrowed his eyes.
"I would have gutted anyone who possessed any part of them. So long as my Manta lies dead, so do they. No part of them should survive, not even for a heartbeat."
With respect shining in his eyes, his father inclined his head to him.
"Noted."
Archie bowed his head.
"Are you angry at us, Solrin?"
Their father scanned them in turn.
"What do you think?"
One by one, his brothers mumbled an apology.
"I'm sorry."
"Forgive me, Solrin."
Until his father locked gazes with Orion.
"Have you no apology for your actions?"
Orion shook his head.
I'm not sorry. At all. The humans attacked what was mine, and I retaliated with enough force to let them know that we will not tolerate their unprovoked assault on our people anymore. Besides, I would not have my mother's shade wandering the banks of the Acheron, lamenting that her sons didn't love her enough to seek her properly avenged. I sent her to the underworld with more than enough coins to pay Charon's fare, and with enough blood to fill the cups of any god who demands it. His father let out a long, tired sigh, then turned toward his sons.
Go. Get cleaned up and see to your families.
As Orion started to leave, his father stopped him.
Orion?
He dreaded the stern lecture he was sure was about to start. But he withheld his reaction from his father and forced himself to appear stoic.
Aye, Solren.
His father scowled as he studied the bloody helm in his hand. A tick worked furiously in his jaw as he returned it to Orion.
You do me proud, but...
He shook his head and growled. Those words and his reaction confused him. What was his father trying to say?
But what?
His gaze turned dark with warning.
Be careful of the demon that drives you so. I was hoping your Xanthia would help to take the edge from it. Instead, you seem to be even more hostile lately. It concerns me.
Some nights it did him, too. I'm fine, Solren.
Are you?
He nodded, even though a part of him had doubts. Taking his helm, Orion headed for his home. But with every step, he shook more from his pent-up rage and grief. Worse, he knew he couldn't go home like this, not covered in blood and gore. The last thing he wanted was for his son and daughter to have this image of their father, or Xanthia. What he'd done tonight was bad. On that count, Theo hadn't been wrong. He had gloried in their deaths in a way that sickened even him. His wife and children didn't need to know what he was capable of. Worse, he didn't regret it at all. He'd do it again, without hesitation.
I'm an animal.
Theo was right. Their mother would have been ashamed of him, and yet he wasn't. His need for justice still burned so deep in his bones that he wanted to go back and desecrate them more. There was some innate part of him that he didn't understand. It screamed out for action with a madness he couldn't comprehend. What is wrong with me? His brothers didn't feel this same screaming need to right the scales of order that he did, to balance chaos and seek out those who'd done wrong. Why was he so different from them? Not wanting to think about it, he craved Zin's presence more than any other. But he knew better than to seek her out, especially after what had happened when he'd intruded on Apollyme's garden. The last thing he needed was another head injury. So he headed to Paris's home to wash and change clothes. To his surprise, Paris wasn't there. Davin answered the door with a shocked expression as he saw the condition Orion was in. Orion wiped at the blood on his face.
I was wondering if I could wash up here before I went home.
Davin sputtered, Depends. Please tell me none of the guts or gore you're wearing belongs to Paris? Aghast and offended by the question, he scowled at his friend.
Nay, but if you don't let me in, I might add yours to it.
Stepping back, Davin made room for him to enter. Well, you can't blame me for asking, given how you two go at each other sometimes. It's a natural assumption that it would be his or another of your siblings. He closed the door while Orion set his helm on a cloth atop their table. Where is Paris, anyway?
I don't know. I assumed he'd be heading straight here.
Removing his cloak, Orion headed for the washing basin and poured the water, while Davin helped him unbuckle his armor. He wrinkled his nose in distaste. What did you get into?
Human entrails, mostly.
Ew! Davin shuddered. Remind me never to disembowel them. They smell horrible.
Indeed.
I have to say that it makes me rather happy we have a liquid diet.
Suddenly, someone cleared his throat loudly behind them. Should I ask why you're stripping the clothes off my brother, Dav?
Orion glanced over his shoulder to see a clean and neatly polished Paris glaring at them.
Like you, I didn't want to go home bloody and reeking to my wife.
Paris crossed his arms over his chest. But you don't mind reeking around my husband?
Not really. Don't care if I repulse him.
Paris laughed as he finally relaxed. Fair point. He came over to help Orion strip down so that he could clean up. It was disgusting. I can't believe I let you talk me into this. Davin snorted. I can't believe you two didn't take me. She was my mother, too. Paris was instantly contrite. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't even think about it, and I didn't want you to feel bad.
Orion quickly finished bathing while they drifted off to their bedroom, dropping garments as they went.
Paris, I'm going to borrow some clothes and let myself out while you apologize for being an ass.
They rumbled a response that was punctuated by some rather eyebrow-raising sounds that made it even more awkward for him. Wishing he shared that level of passion with his spouse, Orion quickly finished, then picked up his sword and shield and Paris's cloak before heading toward his quiet, secluded home. Unlike Davin for Paris, no one waited up for him. A quick sweep of his cottage found the children nestled in their beds, fast asleep, as was Xanthia, which only made the emptiness inside Orion ache all the more. Even at home, he felt like an outsider, unwelcome in his own house, in his own family. He still didn't feel as if he belonged anywhere, except with the dragon. How weird was that? Sighing, Orion placed his sword in its bracket on the wall and hung up his shield, then stoked the fire for his wife. Xanthia was cold-natured, so he always made a point to put new wood on the fire before he went to bed, and to get up before her so that the room wouldn't be too chilly whenever she awoke. As he stood, he realized that she was watching him from the bed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you.
I heard what you did tonight. Her tone was cold and brittle. He did his best to play it off, hoping she'd let the matter go.
Oh?
She glared up at him. Her eyes were bitter in their judgment. Everyone was talking about it after Theo returned without you and the others, and he told what the lot of you had planned. They say the humans will retaliate now, that they'll come here to find us.
He snorted at her ridiculous fear, as if a human could get through one of Apollyme's bolt holes, and even if they did, they'd land at his father's feet in the center hall. A bad day for the human, but a good dinner for whatever daemon happened to be there. They could use the snack. So he smirked at his wife.
I doubt that. If anything, they should fear us more.
It was the first time any Appellite or daemon had ever struck back at them. And it was long past time for such, in his opinion. Sadly, Xanthian didn't share his point of view. Rather, she curled her lip at him.
You're a monstrous killer, Orion. I'm ashamed of what you've done.
Those words cut him deeply, but not nearly as much as the condemnation in her eyes. That stung soul deep.
I see.
He put the poker down beside the fireplace and headed for the door.
Where are you going?
He kept walking without looking back.
Somewhere I'm wanted. Which obviously isn't here.
Zind was still in her human form when she smelled that warm, sweet scent that was her Orion. For the longest minute, she started not to change, to tell him that she'd been the one who'd handed him the cup earlier after Apollyme blasted him, that she'd finally felt the silk of his hair with her flesh that had burned from the memory of it ever since. If only she dared. Hating herself for the cowardice, she changed into her dragon body and tucked her black wings down so that she could meet him by the falls. By the sharpness of his scent, she knew he was furious. Most of all, she knew he was upset and emotionally hurt.
What happened?
We gutted every last one of them.
That made her feel better for him, but his mood confused her all the more. Shouldn't he be happy?
Good.
Judging by the stunned expression on his face, her comment seemed to catch him off guard.
You're not horrified?
Should I be?
He gave her a pointed stare, then spoke slowly, enunciating each word.
I slaughtered them, Zen.
She nodded slowly.
I got that, Orion.
They killed your mother. They deserved whatever it is that you did and then some. She nuzzled him with her snout to offer him comfort.
I just wish I could have been there to help you.
He latched onto her and held tight. Zin savored his embrace, wishing it were a real hug with their bodies pressed against each other. Why couldn't she find the courage to tell him the truth? But then she knew. She was terrified of losing what little contact she had with him. How would he react? What if he never wanted to see her again? It was a chance she just couldn't take.
Orion kissed her snout and pulled back. Did you see Apollomy's priestess today?
She froze at his unexpected question.
Pardon?
A red-headed woman brought me water from your falls earlier. I know how you are about trespassers, so I was wondering how she got it.
He stroked her scales.
Her hair matched your coloring.
She swallowed hard, then did her best to keep her voice and tone level and even.
Did it?
He scowled, then tilted his head to study her eyes.
It did.
Even her eyes. Stumbling back, he shook his head as he stared at her in disbelief.
Saraxin? Can you take human form?
Why did he have to ask her that? Why now?
Fear wedged itself inside her heart. She wanted, nay, needed to lie to him.
She knew it was the prudent thing to do, if only she could. Gods, help me! Bracing herself for whatever would happen, she transformed into her human self so that he could finally see the truth of her. And waited. Then waited some more.
Orion stood there, completely stunned and unable to move. Rage and betrayal warred within him. They mixed with grief to such a level that he didn't know what to think, how to react. He'd come here for comfort, and now, who and what was she?
Why didn't you tell me? Her long auburn hair shimmered in the dim light. In all honesty, she was exquisite in her fey beauty. Her green eyes practically glowed. She was indeed the woman he'd seen earlier, the one who'd touched his hair.
I was afraid to.
He swept his gaze over her. Dressed in a flowing bronze-colored peplos, she was a goddess. Her lips were perfectly formed and made for kisses, and her body. Orion had a hard time reconciling this woman with the dragon he'd known all these years, at least until he saw her pointed ears. There was something strangely apropos about them. She stepped toward him. He moved away.
Orion, don't, Zen.
He needed time to accept this. The fact that she'd lied to him all this time. Well, maybe not lied, misled or withheld. Whatever it was, it left an ache inside him.
Please understand. I didn't want to hurt you. I know there's nothing for us. You're Appellite and I can't feed you.
Tears welled in her eyes and made her lips quiver.
I've loved you all these years.
Orion winced as he realized how much he'd loved her, too. And there was nothing they could do, because she was right. This was beyond cruel to both of them. How could they be together when the only way for him to eat would be to take his nourishment from another woman?
knowing that the feeding would drive him to have sex with someone else, or else he'd have to go back to his disgusting bladders of congealed blood. That wouldn't be fair to her or him. She cupped his face in her hands and pressed her forehead to his. I've snuck off to see you so many times. Pain burned his throat as he realized how many times he'd glimpsed her among the people of their town. I know. Now that I see you, yours is the face I've seen in the crowd so many times. Fisting his hand in her soft, vibrant hair that stood out among their drab paleness, he kissed her and growled at the bitter sweetness of her mouth. She was so much to him. His best friend, his touchstone, his dragon. And he could never have her. Never. His heart breaking, he let her go and stepped away. Tonight, he hadn't just lost his mother. He'd also lost his dragon and best friend. And probably his wife, too. April 30th, 9508 BC. Ophion ducked as a vase flew past his head and shattered less than an inch from his face. It was even closer to Orion, who didn't move at all. But then Orion was used to shit flying at him when he least expected it. Too bad it didn't kill him. His jaw agape, Ophion stared at Orion in utter disbelief, not only at the shattered projectile, but at Orion's complete non-reaction to it. Shite, brother! What have you done to your wife? Orion rolled the dice across the table and sighed as he lost another round. Figured his luck was holding. Bad to worse. I've been taking my meals in other places, and she's rather pissed because of my poor life choices. Ophion grimaced in sympathetic pain. What happened? Sighing, Orion sat back in his chair. Let's just say I'd rather starve than take meals that turn my stomach. His brother glanced through the open doors in the direction Xanthia had gone off with her friends. What's she doing for food, then? Haven't asked, and I don't care. No doubt his wife was spreading her legs for someone. Ophion's eyebrow shot up. You really mean that? Orion nodded. Unlike you, Adelphos, I married for convenience and sustenance, not passion. When she ceased being those things, she can seek her comfort wherever she finds it. He shrugged at a sad, painful truth. He really didn't care whom she screwed or when. The children, however, are another matter. I'm still caring for them. His father had bred responsibility into them, and he would be the first to beat them down if they neglected to care for those who couldn't fend for themselves. As he'd always said, you protected whoever stood at your back, fought with those who stood by your side, and killed whoever was dumb enough to stand before you. Never be their enemy. Trathis appeared out of thin air at their side. Orion, your father summons you immediately. That tone was extremely disconcerting, as was his unexpected appearance. It was rare for such a summons to come, and even more so to be in such a dire manner. Exchanging a frown with Ophion, he rose. His brother remained seated. At Orion's unspoken question, he laughed bitterly. I'd come with you, but I don't like the sound of it. In fact, I'm pretty sure my testicles just crawled back into my belly. He smacked Orion on the arm. Have fun, brother. I'll make a pyre for your funeral games. May the gods strike you down, asshole, Orion grumbled as he followed after Trathis to see what their father wanted with him now. Though, to be honest, he could think of nothing he'd done particularly vexing, at least not tonight, which was actually a record for him, given how most nights went. Normally, he'd be due a good ass-kicking by this time. For once, and in spite of his wife's anger toward him, he'd been on his better behavior. He hadn't punched anyone in the face, started any revolts. Most miraculously of all, he hadn't even brawled with his brothers. Yet, as he entered his father's study and found a group of unfamiliar daemons there, he drew up short. This is unexpected, especially given the fact that every member of the party, including their leader, was a woman, dressed in a breastplate of white orichalcum. She, like the rest of them, was strikingly gorgeous.
Her long blonde hair was plaited and laced with bright red ribbons that matched her cloak, a cloak that contrasted with the studded black leather of her tarugus and tall black war sandals. Damn. She and her warriors were the epitome of a teen Appleite fantasy made real, the kind of dream he'd spent a lot of his youth wishing would happen upon him while he was alone in the woods, lost and naked. The moment their leader met his gaze, he felt an instant jolt of electricity go straight to his groin, which also remembered those countless hours of his misspent imaginings. At least until she scowled angrily and turned back toward his father. "He's an Appleite?" Seated on the smaller version of his bone throne that he kept in their main hall, his father shrugged nonchalantly.
"Indeed. I would have warned you, but I didn't think you'd believe me unless you saw it for yourself."
Aghast, she closed the distance between them until she stood in front of Orion so that she could study him nose to nose. "You're the one who led the raid on the human village."
"I am."
"You!" Could there be any more disdain in that tone? "You killed them all, with only a handful of men." Crossing his arms over his chest, he nodded.
"My brothers."
Her jaw dropped again. "Also Appleites."
"Of course."
There was a raw, unfettered heat in her dark eyes that sizzled in the air between them as she stared up at him with a tangible hunger. "We came to pay tribute to the Deathbringer. I assumed one of such courage and skill would have to be Damon." His father chuckled.
"To answer your question, Orion, they're an Amazon tribe of Damons from the north."
Even more confused by that, Orion glanced past her shoulder to his father. "Amazons?" He'd never heard of a group of Damons with that kind of loyalty before. It defied all logic. The woman answered for his father. "We were Atlanteans in service to Artemis when the curse came down from the sun god. When the goddess refused to go against her brother to help us, we turned our services and bows to whatever god answered our plea for mercy. Since then, my sisters and I have been on a quest to find others of our kind to help them and to put our war skills to any who get in our way." Orion related to that. He knew the stories of his own father's panic in his quest to spare them Apollo's wrath. No god had wanted to get involved for fear of what Apollo or Zeus would do to them. "Who answered your call?" To Orion's knowledge, only Apollome had shown mercy to their race and dared to defy Apollo. "The goddess Marzana." He glanced to his father.
"I've never heard of her." "She's a northern goddess."
His father's lips twisted with wry humor.
"An interesting one, I'm told. Sort of a combination of Persephone and Hades all in one, with the psychosis you would expect from such a mashup. She's the wife of Kalshi the Deathless."
His father's tone held a strange note that Orion couldn't quite make out.
"Have you met them, Solrin?" "Just once, as a boy. They were a peculiar couple who left quite an impression on my young mind."
Orion's scowl deepened. He'd never known his father to be so diplomatic before. The woman smiled. "We've traveled a long way to meet the Damon who dared strike back at the human vermin. Your courage impressed us before, but now that we know you're not even a Damon." Orion flashed a taunting grin.
"You're overwhelmed? Impressed? Would you like to sample the fruit of Apollo?"
She laughed.
"You are a cheeky one, aren't you?"
His father let out an exasperated sigh.
"Ever my bane. Never could curb or control that one. I blame his mother, completely."
She smirked. "Yet I hear the pride in your voice as you say those words, Dracarys. You'd have it no other way." With her hand on her sword hilt, she turned back toward his throne. "So, do you accept our bargain?" His father arched a brow.
"To sell you my son?"
He met Orion's shocked gaze.
"Let me think, no, never. Cheeky though they all are, I am attached to my sons, especially that one."
Good, because he didn't like the place this conversation was headed at all.
"I will give you any price you name."
His father shook his head and chided her.
Bathsheba, you could offer me the throne of Olympus, and I would refuse it. I will not put a price on my children. As you said, you came here for a daemon, and my sons are still Apellites. Even if Orion were a daemon, the answer would still be no.
But you have a dozen sons, do you not?
10. Surely one son does not replace another. You obviously haven't any, or you'd know that.
Yeah. Orion was exceedingly grateful for his father's loyalty at the moment. As she started back toward him, his father threw out his hand and encased Orion's entire body with a bright blue glow.
My lady, I said no, and that's my final answer. I won't be swayed.
Slowly, his father rose from his seat and descended the steps to approach them.
Make no mistake about my sincerity. You fight for your people, as do I. But I would see my people and the entire world burn to the lowest pit of Tartarus to spare my children the loss of one single tear. Therefore, the thought of putting them into slavery to fight for you, unacceptable.
She tisked. Why don't we let your son decide? What if I were to win his heart? Would you approve our marriage then? Orion gaped at her words. Was she serious?
My sons are all married.
A scheming light came into her eyes as she swept an appreciative look over his body. He'd feel a little more flattered if she weren't treating him like a side of lamb on a feast day. She smiled at him. You're Apellites. You can always take another wife, can you not? Technically, she was right. Polygamy wasn't illegal or unknown among their people, especially after Apollo's curse. They merely looked upon it as greedy. But so long as all the participants were agreeable to the arrangement, and no one was slighted by it, financially or emotionally, it was legally, if not always socially, acceptable. His father raked a look over him.
I suppose if he's that stupid.
Thanks, Solrin.
But,
his father warned,
he's too young to be made daemon yet. You are not to convert him.
She smiled. I don't want to convert him, Strychereus. My tribe isn't the same as your people, as you noted earlier. Nay, I want to breed with your son.
Well, this wasn't awkward at all, discussing sex in front of his father, what he lived for.
More than a little dismayed by their bargaining, Orion met his father's gaze. Have you nothing to say to that? His father stared at him blankly.
What? You want me to interfere with your sex life?
Kind of. Orion was beginning to feel like a piece of livestock being offered up to stud, especially as every one of them stared at him, and in particular his crotch, as if they wanted a turn on him like he was their new favorite toy. Suddenly his youthful fantasy was beginning to take on the sinister appearance of a nightmare. And these Amazons were turning from goddesses into the forms of bacchanalian lamiae.
Well?
His father prompted at his delay in answering.
Guess not. You know, being a breeder and all.
Of course, it would be a little difficult to accommodate her on that particular request to impregnate her, given that he was sterile, but this didn't seem like a convenient time to bring that up. And she really didn't appear to be in the mood to hear it. Neither did his father. So, being the sole pork chop in the kennel, he decided to keep his mouth shut. The pork chop image wasn't helped a few minutes later when Bathsheba came up and grabbed the knot of his girdle to pull him out of the room. Orion started to pass a look of help me toward his father, but given the fact that his father had thrown him to the she-wolves, he figured it would be useless. His father seemed to think he should be enjoying the attention.
Are you planning to diggle me in the street, or do you have a destination in mind?
She smiled seductively. Don't you have a home?
I do, and it's filled with a wife and two children, who would be most upset to have you bang me in front of them.
You're rather hostile about this. I'm beginning to think you don't want to have sex.
He gave her a droll stare. You think? You don't?
Was she serious? Not like this. That seemed to stun her into silence. At least, she finally let go of the knot over his crotch. Orion straightened his clothes.
Contrary to what you think you know about men, Bathsheba,
We don't like being treated like whores any more than a woman does.
Is it that?
Or do you feel threatened by a powerful woman? He laughed at her challenge. Have you met Apollyme? Or my wife, for that matter? Trust me, you're quite paltry in comparison. Powerful women don't frighten me. I prefer them to weak ones. Then why are you so standoffish with me? Because of the way you've treated me. I'm not a bitch to bark at your command. And speaking of strong women, what is this?
Xanthia materialized so fast by his side that she almost bonded their DNA together. One more heartbeat or step, and she would have caused a tragic biological mistake.
What is what? He asked drolly.
A new wife? She shrieked. Did I hear that correctly? You're planning to marry someone else?
Praise Apollyme for their small community. Bad news traveled so much faster than the good.
Sighing, Orion decided it was probably time he introduced the two women. Xanthia, meet Bathsheba. The Hades to Colossus, I will! She shoved Bathsheba back. You lay one fang to my husband, and you will find yourself toothless and bald, bitch!
Orion quirked a brow at Bathsheba. What was that you were saying about weak women?
Xanthia turned toward him with the wrath of the Furies in her eyes. You don't speak. Maybe never again.
Strangely pissed and amused by that comment, he held his hands up and decided to stay out of this particular fight, since it wasn't one he wanted to be in to begin with.
Aye, my love.
Out of nowhere, Paris appeared at his back and draped himself against Orion's spine. He wrapped his arm around his neck and rested his chin on Orion's bare shoulder. This looks quite interesting and entertaining. What have you gotten yourself into now, brother?
Not sure.
Bathsheba shoved Xanthia back.
Don't you ever dare touch me again without invitation.
And don't you even think of touching my husband's loins.
Bathsheba sneered at her.
You hardly seem fit for a champion's wife. What hole did he dredge you from to elevate you to such a grand status? Shrieking, Xanthia lunged forward, but Orion extracted himself from his brother and caught her before she could attack the warrior queen, who would tear her to shreds. While he admired his wife's fire, he wasn't a fool. He'd given Xanthia basic training and nothing more. She'd never really cared for fighting, and wasn't any kind of challenge to a warrior of Bathsheba's skills. And though he was presently furious at his wife and wanted to beat her himself for her unwarranted condemnation of him, she was still his wife, and he wouldn't have her harmed for anything. He'd sworn his loyalty and troth to her, and no matter how much of a monster she might think him, he was at least an honorable monster.
Let me go!
Xanthia screamed, kicked, and pinched. Orion ground his teeth against the pain.
Calm down!
He regretted those words as soon as they passed his lips. How could he have forgotten that the worst thing to ever say to anyone when they were furious was to calm down? Invariably, it only pissed them off more. First lesson he'd learned as a boy when dealing with Archie and Theo. He still had the scar on his left cheek from one of those blatant acts of stupidity. Bathsheba had the gall to laugh. You do have your hands full with that shrew. And that got him one massive heel kick to his thigh. Orion grimaced. Do you mind not antagonizing her further? Xanthia slammed her head back into his nose. Orion felt it break instantly. Son of a bitch! He almost lost his grip on her as the pain of it split his skull and his eyes watered in protest.
Enough!
His father's shout finally succeeded in calming his wife down. While she might not fear him, she had a healthy respect for the fact that his father held no love or loyalty to her and wouldn't hesitate to rip out her heart and feast on it. Orion set her down on her feet so that he could wipe away the blood that was pouring from his nose. His father's eyes widened in fury the moment he caught sight of his injuries. Xanthia shrank back to stand behind him. Yeah, wasn't this perfect? Now she liked him again. She even clutched at his chalmis for protection. He passed an irritated grimace at her.
Are you all right?
His father asked in a concerned tone. Orion had a moment when he considered telling his father the truth, that his nose felt like shit, and that he was done with Xanthia's theatrics. But sadly, her children loved her, and he loved her children. I'm fine, Solrin. Still, his father's gaze narrowed threateningly on Xanthia.
Go home. Now.
She ran off. Bathsheba walked toward Urien with a sassy, seductive swagger. She pulled out a piece of soft deerskin cloth so that she could tenderly blot and care for his nose. And as much as he hated to admit it, his body did react to the gentle warmth of her fingers cupping his chin, especially the way she traced his lower lip with her thumb to soothe the throbbing where Xanthia had busted the center of it. Your wife should appreciate the care you have for her well-being, and the fact that you saved her life.
I don't blame her for her fury. She's a good woman. I'm an average husband.
Whatever problems they might have, Orion wasn't about to see her reputation tarnished or her character abused by anyone. Bathsheba snorted at that. You've raised a remarkable son, Strycerius.
I know.
Stepping back, Bathsheba removed a tribal emblem necklace that was nestled snugly between her breasts. For that reason, I shall leave you in peace, good Urien. When you come to your senses and realize that your shrew is unworthy of a man of your caliber, call us. So long as I reign, the Marzani are forever allies to the Apollomians. She leaned forward to kiss Urien's cheek and to whisper in his ear,
When you're ready to ride a real woman, my thighs will be wet and open for you.
If those words weren't enough to make him salivate, the sound of her ragged breath and the scent of her blood mixed with his were almost enough to make him grab her right then and embarrass them both. It was all he could do to not accept her invitation on the spot. Because the truth was, he hadn't been with anyone in days. He'd been starving since his wife had insulted him, and he was dying for something to eat. And after the fight with Zin, he was hornier than hell. He'd been without any form of compassion or care. He felt so lost and alone, adrift. Honestly, he just wanted to feel welcomed somewhere by someone. As if she knew his thoughts, she gave him a hot, hungry kiss that left him hard and aching with longing. She ran her tongue across the cut on his bottom lip.
Just put a drop of your blood on the amulet and call my name. I'll hear you, and come instantly.
With a wistful sigh, she stepped back and inclined her head to his father.
Take care, Strycerius.
May we meet again one night.
Indeed.
His father opened the portal for them so that they could take their leave. Orion did not move or speak until after they were gone. Not until his father approached him and took the deerskin cloth from his hand.
You're a royal fucking idiot. I can't believe you came from my loins.
I know. With a disgusted sigh, his father shook his head.
How long have you been sleeping at Tanis's house?
Orion let out a ragged sigh before he confessed the truth.
3 days. Have you fed?
Not really. Tanny's tried to feed me some of her blood in a cup, but I haven't felt like taking any of it. His father grabbed his arm where he had fresh bite marks.
Yet you've been feeding your children.
There was no missing the angry condemnation in that tone.
You know you can't keep feeding them if you're not taking anything for yourself.
Orion knew. It was the quickest way to make an Appellite sick. And it could give them a rare disease that would kill them. I'm only feeding Garrus. He won't go to sleep unless I rock him. He only takes a little right before he drifts off. A tick started in his father's jaw.
You coddle that boy. He's getting too old for that kind of foolishness.
Just looking out for my son, as my Solrin taught me to do. Disgusted, his father flung his arm away.
The difference being that I am your Solrin.
Orion gave him a chiding frown. In my heart, Garrus is as much mine as if he'd come from my seed. His father grabbed a fistful of his hair and yanked him closer.
Nay, Orion, there's a difference. I was there when you slid into this world, still covered in your Mata's blood. My hands were the first that held you, my face the first you saw, even before your Mata's. I held you every day of your childhood. I promise you that whatever love you have for that boy pales in comparison
to what I feel whenever I look at you and your brothers and sister. Knowing it is my blood you carry, knowing my hands delivered you into this world, and that your welfare falls unto me all the days of my life. That it was my blood that caused you all to be cursed by the gods. You've no idea how much I hate myself for that, how much I hate my father, not because he cursed me, but for what he did to my children and theirs. And if your wife does not do right by you, I will see her throat ripped out. For her life is nothing to me, but your happiness is all. I will make sure to convey your insanity to her, Solrin, forthwith. His father winced before he kissed Orion's forehead and playfully shoved him away.
You try my patience, Pido.
Someone has to, Solrin. Otherwise, your head will grow too swollen to fit inside your helm, and you need that for battle. Growling, his father headed off toward the Theocropolis.
I blame your Mata.
She always blamed you.
And we both overcoddled you when we should have taken a heavy strap to your ass. Now he figures that out?
Orion arched a brow at Archie's low tone as his brother stepped out of the shadows behind him.
Dare you to say that louder?
And to your Solrin's face,
I'm not you, Uri, me. He'd put through a wall.
Yeah, right. He's never struck you any harder than he struck me.
I would beg to differ. He was a much harsher parent prior to the curse. Ask Theo. There's a reason why we curb our tongues and actions more than you younger assholes. Guilt rides him harder than you know.
That, Orion believed. Archie grabbed him in his huge paw of a hand.
What the Hades?
When Orion tried to fight him off, he only intensified his fierce hold.
Stop it, Uri, before I slap you. I want to see how much damage you took from Thea.
Why?
Because you're my little brother and I don't like to see you hurt.
Grimacing, he straightened his nose for him. Orion hissed in pain.
Is it fixed? Aye. You're as pretty as my sister again.
He curled his lip.
That has to be painful.
Hurt less before you rebroke the bone. Orion gingerly fingered it. Archie scoffed at his irritable mood.
Come on. Let me see you home.
I'm fine, Archie. Besides, your concern frightens me.
Then we're even. Your stupidity scares me.
He slapped him on the arm.
You know where I am, if you need me or a place to sleep today.
Well, this night kept getting stranger and stranger. Baffled beyond his ability to cope, Orion decided to head home and check in with Xanthia. It seemed like the right and decent thing to do, given all that had transpired. At least, that was what his thought had been, until he opened the door to his home and heard a most distinctive sound. And he knew his daughter was far too young to be rutting with a man, or his son. His suspicions were foul enough, and he knew before he pushed open the door to his bedroom what he was about to walk in on. So the sight of his wife sprawled naked on top of another man didn't shock him. The fact that it was his brother-in-law did. Only had it been Davin would he have been more stunned. But the moment Errol's blood-drunk gaze met his, he had an even more sickening realization. This was why Archie had been so nice, so concerned about him. Xanthia must have made a pass at his brother earlier, and unlike Errol, Archie wasn't a complete and unethical bastard. No doubt he'd wanted to warn him, but hadn't had the heart. Instead, he'd offered Orion a place to stay, comfort for the fact that his wife was a whore.
Wow. Don't I feel like an asshole? I turned down a queen so that you could screw an unscrupulous bum.
Xanthia sat up and faced him without a bit of remorse in her eyes. Wiping her mouth with the back of her hand, she glared at him.
Is that all you have to say? Not really. His head rang with a number of insults, insults that his tongue begged him to unleash.
But his children didn't need to be awakened to such violence against their mother.
Just for you to get your scrawny ass off him so that I can kill him. Not because I give a shit who you spread your legs for, but because he did this to my beloved sister. And I don't want to traumatize our children, so as soon as he's dressed, I'll take care of him. Oh, and after this night, dear Xanthia, consider us divorced.
June 27, 9506
B.C.
Urien's head spun while Bathsheba came in his arms with a shrill battle cry. Laughing at her enthusiasm, he sank his fangs into her throat and let her blood invade his mouth so that he could feed on her sweetness. There was something about whenever she climaxed that made her all the tastier to him. He didn't know if it was something about her adrenaline or if it came from her being a different form of Daemon. Whatever it was, she made his senses reel. Quickening his strokes, he lost himself to her cries and her scent.
Majesties?
Urien cursed in frustration. Sheba went rigid in his arms as her climax was cut in half. First lesson he'd learned when he'd moved in with her. Make sure she was done completely with her orgasm before he finished, or there would be hell to pay. She let out a shriek that challenged the elasticity of his eardrums as she flung a heavy gold wine cup at the hapless maid. Fortunately, the girl was used to dodging projectiles from her volatile mistress.
Damn it, never! What have I told you about interrupting us?
Cringing, the petite blonde picked up the cup and deftly policed the wine before it stained the rugs and resulted in a beating for the girl for her carelessness, which would have later caused a fight between Urien and his wife after he defended what Bathsheba viewed as a lowly servant.
Forgive me, Majesty, but I have visitors for King Urien. His brothers are waiting for him.
Sheba let out a frustrated breath as Urien gave her an apologetic grin, stroking her intimately and deftly beneath the covers in an effort to placate her ire. He nuzzled her breast with his whiskers.
Sorry, my love. They have always been my bane.
She yanked at his hair.
Should I have them beheaded?
Urien laughed.
Tempting, but nay. They are my brothers, and my Solrun would demand satisfaction for it. Let me see what they need, and I shall spend the rest of the night making this up to you.
He pressed a kiss to her bare stomach and breast, then moved to slide over her. She caught him and wrapped her legs about his waist, holding him between her thighs.
I will be here, naked and waiting for your return. Don't take too long.
I'll return post-haste.
With a precious pout, she released him. Urien slid from the bed, washed quickly, and grabbed his linen shendet from where his wife had tossed it earlier when she'd attacked him for her dinner. Raking his hair back from his face, he grabbed a lightweight robe and left their room, which had been carved from the heart of an ancient mountain that Bathsheba's people considered sacred to the goddess they served as devoutly as his father did Apollome. The dark stone walls were soothing to their eyes that Apollo had cursed them with, and it kept the temperature cool. Quite similar to Colossus. The only real difference was that humans could actually access this home if they climbed high enough. That being said, Sheba's culture was nothing like the Apollomeans, which made it hard for him at times whenever he paused to dwell on it. He'd married Bathsheba out of anger, and he was paying for it in ways he'd never imagined. While she was kinder to him than Xanthia had ever been, he still didn't love her, and he felt every bit as used. Thea had wanted a protector to keep her safe from the humans and to guarantee her and her children a permanent place in Colossus. Sheba wanted an attack dog to unleash at her command, one with no will of his own. She expected unquestioning obedience, a loyalty that overrode his conscience. She'd wanted Urien Deathbringer. That myth had only lived to avenge his mother, a rabid hellhound who wasn't as mindless as she'd assumed. What he found out here in the human realm after his temper cooled was that he bore no hatred or grudge whatsoever toward humanity. They were that far beneath him. He was completely ambivalent toward them. He reserved his hatred solely for the gods who'd cursed his people. And away from his family and Apollome, the volcanic heat inside his blood only seemed to arise whenever injustice occurred. Day to day, without his brothers around to nettle him for shits and giggles every time they drew near, he was rather mellow. Frightfully so, in fact. He'd had no idea just how quiet and introspective he actually was. Worse than that, he really missed Saraxin. More than he'd have ever thought possible, so much so that he no longer even cared that she lied to him about her abilities. Part of him just wanted to see her again, even if it meant apologizing, but he didn't know how after all this time. In truth, he barely recognized the stranger who resided inside his skin nowadays. He really had lost himself. And that feeling was rammed home hard when he opened the door to the ornate throne room where Archie and Theo waited. They turned toward him, then gave him their backs so that they could continue their whispered conversation, because neither of them realized he was the one they'd come to visit. They thought him a stranger.
I haven't been away that long.
Well, almost a year, but still. They shouldn't have forgotten what he looked like, or failed to recognize their own flesh and blood. Bitterly amused, Orion glanced around the familiar room. Black marble was veined with gold and dusted so as to awe and impress any who came here, not that it appeared to have any effect on his obtuse brothers. Sheba was big on intimidation, hence her two pets she kept chained to her throne. Agitated at the presence of his brother's unfamiliar scent, both oversized lions were pacing around and growling at Archie and Theo, straining at their chains as they sought a way to get nearer their intended victims. He paused to grab them a bit of steak from their larder.
Shh, Nero, Leo, it's all right.
Orion tossed the raw meat onto the golden platters set on the floor next to Sheba's throne. They immediately pounced on the food. Archie was the first to gape at Orion's half-naked state.
Damn, Ori, what happened to you?
Scowling, Theo moved to his side so that he could paw at Orion's hair, which now flowed just past his shoulders.
What's this?
Orion snatched at the tiny braids Sheba had plaited with care that were interwoven throughout his hair with beads. While it was the fashion of his father's people to keep their hair length just below their ears, Sheba's tribe wore theirs much longer. Orion's now fell past his shoulders. It's a sign of nobility among their culture. The long silver and gold beads mean that I'm their ruler.
And the eye makeup and face paint.
Theo fingered the intricate pattern that Neva painted along the left side of Orion's face and hairline every morning, and from the tip of his nose to just under his chin.
It's tradition, moron.
Just like the ruby stud in his left ear that said he was a free man and not owned by his wife, which was a rare thing for her tribe. And also indicative of our rank in their society. Orion scratched at his bare shoulder. So is there a point to your visit? Or were you too bored and thought, what the Hades? We've got nothing better to do. Let's go annoy Orion. Archie rolled his eyes.
And here we were actually missing you.
He glanced over to Theo.
Why again?
Shrugging, he held his hands up.
I don't know. Maybe because we had something to show him?
Now that was a scary thought. What? Did the two of you finally locate a single brain cell between you and you needed someone to show you how to use it? Archie shoved him. The moment he did, an arrow went whizzing for his heart. Orion barely caught it before it landed in the center of his brother's chest. Had he been a breath later, it would have killed his brother instantly. Eyes wide, Archie went pale.
What the?
Halt!
Orion snapped, as his wife's guards moved forward to slaughter his siblings. Smirking, he returned the arrow to Birgit, who'd shot it.
I appreciate your protection, but I'd be most upset if you killed my brother for his stupidity.
Forgive me, Majesty.
She cast a warning glance at Archie before withdrawing back to the doorway. Both of his brothers gaped in shock. Crossing his arms over his chest, Orion gave them a smug grin.
Not your little brother here. Apparently.
Theo let out a nervous laugh.
Damn, Ori. How are you doing with it all?
Some days were better than others, but he wasn't the kind to share those thoughts, so he cleared his throat.
Why are you here again?
Recovering their earlier mischievousness, they exchanged a grin. Then they pulled open their tunics to expose their chests to him. More to the point, the daemon's mark that now rested over their hearts. Orion's stomach shrank at the sight. For several seconds, he didn't react. He couldn't. Honestly, he didn't know how to respond to their news. While a part of him was glad to know they wouldn't die horribly from Apollo's cold stupidity, another part was sick with the thought of how they'd have to live from this night forward. that their futures could end in a single heartbeat if they didn't kill on time. As precarious as life was for an Appellite, it was so much more for a Daemon. Theo sobered.
Aren't you happy?
More confused than anything, he scowled at Theo, unable to understand why he'd convert so soon when he didn't have to. You still had 3 years left until you turned 27.
I know, but Archie was afraid.
That he understood. They were only a few months away from Archimedes' birthday, when he would have to make a choice, but Archie rubbed at his neck.
I couldn't do it, Uri. I tried so hard. I did.
Theo had gone with me, and I had the human there, compliant. I had the human's will mesmerized to my own, just as Solrin had taught us, more than willing to surrender his soul to me. The human was a bastard dog with no regard for anyone. He abused everyone around him. I figured he deserved to die so that I'd have less guilt killing him. I mean, the world is better off without his ilk. And he was more than willing to give up his soul, but then he started whimpering and begging pathetically, and I couldn't do it.
Theo nodded. So I did it for him. I killed the human and took the soul, then shared it with Archie.
Orion flinched. So what does this mean? He frowned at Archie. You're having to live as an Animikos? They were daemons who fed from other daemons in order to remain alive, like a baby bird feeding from its mother. Sheepishly, Archie nodded. However, that image quickly turned into something much more graphic and horrifying as Orion thought about how Theo would have to feed Archie. Surely this wasn't as sexual as when Appellites fed, was it? His eyes widened. They immediately protested as they caught on to where his mind had drifted. Oh, dear gods, Archie snapped. It's not like that. He shuddered violently. I'd rather die.
Why would you think something that disgusting?
Theo started to slap Orion's arm, then glanced at the guards and lions before reconsidering.
It's not the same as a feeding. Besides, if I were going to sleep with a man, I'd pick someone a lot better looking than that oaf. Ugh, he's revolting. At least I'd go after Davin.
Orion scoffed. Well, how would I know how you share a soul? I'm not a daemon. Theo rolled his eyes.
Soul exchanges are completely different.
How so? Orion had always been curious how it worked. It was the one thing no one would ever go into, rather the best-kept secret of their people.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. It's something you have to be shown when you're ready.
Orion moved closer to Theo so that he could study him to see what else might be different about his brother. So, what's it like? They both sobered.
I don't know how to describe it, really.
Theo didn't move as Orion fingered his ear.
My powers are heightened now, in ways you can't imagine.
Archie made a face. For one, the souls are loud. Theo nodded in agreement.
I now know why the Treli go mad. You can hear the human in your head all the time. It's like the worst sort of nagging wife.
Aye, Archie sighed. They beg and whine and barter, and you can't escape the sound. It rattles in your brain. Is there anything you can do to quiet them? They shook their heads. Solrin says it gets fainter as they weaken and the soul dies. That we have to pay attention, as that will tell us when we need to hunt again. So for that reason, we want them to be yelling loud and clear in order to maintain our life. That was terrifying. His own inner monologue was loud enough at times. He couldn't imagine having something inside him trying to outshout it. And there's no other way to live. They shook their heads. Archie scowled.
And what about your wife's people? How does it work for them?
Their goddess bonded them to fire demons to preserve their lives. I don't recommend it either. Especially given some of Sheba's more particular vicious mood swings whenever the demon in her acted up. Archie glanced over to the guards.
So, are they Appellites?
Not anymore. Even their young were different from what Orion was used to. The Marzani are a different species, more akin to daemons, with some differences.
Theo arched a brow at that.
Such as?
They don't age the way we do, but they're not immortal. They can still have children at any point, unlike daemons, who couldn't have children. Once they ceased to be Appellites, they lost their fertility.
Can they walk in daylight?
Orion shook his head. No one has thwarted that part of the curse yet, at least not to my knowledge, though I've heard of some who've tried. All had ended in disaster. It seemed Apollo was determined to make sure no one with a drop of Appellite blood would ever again see the light of day.
Majesty?
Neva nervously cleared her throat from the doorway shadows.
Forgive my interruption, but my lady bid me to remind you of your duties.
Ever his horny mistress, he sighed.
I'll be right there.
She scurried away.
Duties?
Archie mocked. Then he sobered.
Truth. Are you happy?
He couldn't honestly call what he had here happy. While it wasn't miserable or abusive, he'd only ever been really happy with one person. Zin. And since she wasn't here, and he was never able to see her, I'm content.
That's not happiness, Orion.
Theo passed a concerned glance toward Archie. How he hated the fact that his family could read him so easily. He'd never been able to hide anything from them, no matter how hard he tried.
You two worry like old women, but I would ask one thing before you leave. That is?
Archie cocked his head. Would you escort my children home to their mother? They've been missing her, and I know they'd like to see her.
Sure.
Orion inclined his head to Archie before he went to ask Neva to gather them for the journey. Nefeli, in particular, had been begging to see her mother. Keeping them away from Xanthia had been the shittiest act of spite he'd ever done in his life. And given some of the things he'd done to his older brothers as a boy, that said a lot. But the truth was, they'd been the only part of his marriage to Xanthia that he'd enjoyed. And they'd been the one thing that had kept him sane here with Sheba and her people. A balm against his loneliness and his own homesickness. Especially where Saraxin was concerned. He'd needed them as a distraction so that he didn't dwell on how much he missed his friend. Nay, not friend. The only woman he'd ever loved. The one woman he could never have. And the thought of being here without his children? Heartsick, Orion sighed. It wasn't fair to Garrus and Nefele, and he knew it. They didn't belong here, and they were miserable. He was being selfish, and it was time for them to be with their mother, not their stepfather.
Papa!
He paused at his bedroom door as he heard Nefele's call from the other end of the hallway. Her voice echoed off the stone as she came running toward him. Even though she tried not to show it, he saw the excitement on her beautiful face as she neared him.
Are you really taking us home?
Those words were a fist to his gut. How he wished. But if he went home, he'd never return here either, and that would cause a war between their people. Orion sighed at the tears that choked him.
Nay, love.
My brothers are here. They'll take you and Garrus back to your Mata.
Oh.
Her voice mirrored the same disappointment he felt.
What about you?
Pain swelled up inside as he fingered her blonde braids.
I have to stay here with the Marzani.
But if you wish to stay in Colossus, I won't force you to return.
I shall miss you terribly, though.
His voice cracked on that last bit. He would miss them every day. Tears welled in her eyes and her lips trembled. With a sob, she threw herself against his chest. Closing his eyes, Orion held her there as he fought against his own tears.
He really did love his children. He always would.
Garrus came running and threw himself against them so that he could pout over the fact that Orion wouldn't be joining them. His heart breaking even more, Orion held them until he heard Sheba calling for him to join her from the other side of the door. Damn it. He shouldn't have to choose between her and his children. But life was never fair, and it seemed to take a special joy out of racking his balls. I have to go, and your uncles are waiting. He kissed them each in turn. Take care. I shall come visit as soon as I can.
I'll miss you, Baba.
Jairus said. Miss you already, scamp. Orion chucked him on the chin, then wiped away the tears on Nefeli's face.
Be good for me.
I will. You take care, Baba.
Her words made his heart swell and ache. Every time they called him that, it tore him apart and made him glad that in spite of how it had ended, he'd married their mother. For them alone, his hell with Thea had been worth it. He paused to watch as they walked down the hall. Jairus glanced back to wave and Nefele to blow him one last kiss. Orion returned both gestures with a heavy heart.
I hate change.
He always had. That was the worst part about being an Appellite. Change came fast and furious for them all in their pathetically brief lives. 27 years just wasn't long enough for anyone to live and die. They were gone before they had a chance to begin. Game over. Why? Because his own grandfather was a selfish ass. Why did people have to be so selfish and cold? What a world it would be if others could look around for 3 seconds each day and realize that they weren't the only ones in pain, that everyone suffered. If people would take a breath before lashing out to take into account everyone who was in their line of fire. Yet they never did. Instead, anger was a double-edged sword that cut in both directions as it swung a wide arc and left a bloody swath in its wake. Orion sighed. His personal fate was looming faster than he could keep track of. He had less than 5 years to that fateful birthday. 5 years. A blink. And he'd either be dead like his mother, or a daemon like his brothers and father. In a way, he envied his brothers for having already made their decisions. It no longer weighed on their minds. Would he be able to do it? Or would he be like Archie and Theo? And have to be fed by another daemon. While Orion thought himself strong enough to go daemon, he didn't really know for certain. It was one thing to tear apart the humans who'd hurt his mother, another to kill those who were innocent. The gods knew that Archie was the last one he'd have thought would falter in the face of a human. His brother had never spared him any conscience, or any blow, physical or mental. And he'd been the one to rip apart the human children that night. But then the true measure of any warrior was never known until the day they were battle-tested. Only in the heat of that moment would they come to know if they would be shattered from the blows of a superior enemy or rise victorious to overcome all challengers. It was one thing to say what he'd do in the abstract, but another to actually do it, when that moment came barreling down with crushing brutality. Stand and fight, or turn and flee? The irony wasn't lost on him, that the brother who'd gone out to avenge their mother and slaughter humans in her name wasn't the brother who'd been able to turn daemon to save his own life. Yet the one who'd been a coward and run home to hide that night had been the very one to take that soul to save his own. You just never know who will fight for themselves and who will fight to save another, whom you could trust and when. That was the most frightening part of life. It was ever unexpected. Opening the door, he found Sheba waiting, just as she'd said. Even though she was highly agitated, he didn't let it bother him, as that was basically her normal state of being. Rather, he undressed and returned to bed, ever the dutiful pet. She frowned as soon as she saw the grim expression on his face. Are you all right?
My brothers, they went daemon.
Her jaw dropped. Did they want you to join them?
Not yet. It was merely a courtesy call.
Sheba ran her hand over his chest, raising chills in the wake of her warm caress. She paused over his heart, where a dark daemon's mark would rest were he to convert as they had. You know you have a choice, love. I can petition our goddess to make you one of us. You don't have to go daemon like them. Her eyes flashed that peculiar shade of amber orange as she trailed her hand lower to cup him and toy with his sack while she slowly teased his Adam's apple with her tongue. Urien sucked his breath in as his cock hardened in her palm. It was a tempting offer. To become a different sort of demon. Serve another goddess. At least he had options. Just say the word. How could he, when at the moment he couldn't think straight while she did that? He was a slave to his hormones whenever she stroked him like this. All he could feel was her. Suddenly a jarring scream rang out through the stillness. Majesties! Well, that ruined the mood and irritated the crap out of him. More screams were followed by the sounds of clashing steel. Frustrated at another interruption, Orion used his powers to flash himself into the armor that his wife insisted he wear to blend in with her army, and gathered his sword and shield while Sheba scrambled from the bed with a rush of creative expletives. Worried about her, given the escalating violence that was heading for them, he used his powers to dress her in her own armor. She met his gaze with a grim smile. Remind me later to tell you that I love you, he handed her battle helm to her. Rather remind you of that when I do something that pisses you off. Laughing, she rose up on her tiptoes to give him a hot kiss. You are a sexy beast, Orion Deathbringer. Her eyes smoldered as she scraped his chin with her fangs. I ache for you to fill my belly with your children. Guilt stung him as she pulled away to grab her own sword and shield. While she never held it against him that he had yet to make her pregnant, he dreaded every month when her flow came and he saw the disappointment in her eyes that she hadn't conceived. It was the only good thing about Appellites. Once they converted to daemons, their women could no longer carry children, and that part of nature's cycle ceased for them. While the transition could be hard on some of the women who mourned their premature loss of fertility, others met it with joy. Sheba craved children, so much so that she'd been a good stepmother to Theus. It was why he had yet to tell her the children had left without saying goodbye. He wasn't sure how she'd handle it, but that could wait. Placing his helm on his head, he stepped outside and sucked his breath in sharply as he saw the chaos that awaited them. Never had Orion seen such carnage. While he'd been on raids, those were skirmishes, such as the night they'd attacked the human village. The humans had been caught off guard and asleep. Likewise, over the last